week. The completely expected annual OLR intro has arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, E3 is here. But you knew that, so stay tuned. You know how this works.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, June the 11th of 2017, with episode number 690 of our show. My name is Rob Roberts. You might know me on Twitter at Sky, S-K-I-E, joined here in Studio N7, based out of lovely Sacramento, California, with my co-host, not here just yet, but on her way, Dark Soccer, or Jamie Summers. She's running a smidge behind tonight, but joining me here is Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
It's been a busy week. Here we are. It's E3 season.
Yeah.
Does it feel weird not being there?
No.
Because we used to go.
That was a long time ago, though.
I think I went a few more times than you did, but you still went one of those years towards the end, right?
Yeah, it was 2009.
Yeah. So, okay. So that was like probably the last time you went. But now you're enjoying the whole watching from home thing and playing the home game, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't see the need to go anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. There's so much that's delivered through the, you know, Twitch and the Mixer and the whole, you know, internet route that, you know, it just seems like you can almost cover more from home because those guys get the appointments so you don't have to, right? I'm going to be very interested to hear what it's like from the, you know, the fans, I'm using my quotey fingers, that are actually there this year.
I'll be very
interested to see how it goes this year. All right. I do want to say, of course, we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice of Geeks Network, 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show at the Voice of Geeks Network, vognetwork.com. And we will get to your comments and stuff in our chat room at live.vognetwork.com. And
who uses chat rooms anymore?
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
I'm okay.
You showed up just in the nick of time.
I'm hungry.
I know. So you've had a busy day. Where were you at? Were you doing a...
Get my hairs did.
Oh, yeah. Your hair is all purple into blue. It's like...
It's
could...
actually two different shades of purple.
Your hair could be a video game logo, but it's not.
I look like a unicorn.
A unicorn frap. Yes, no,
without,
I'm kidding.
Without the stabby forehead accessory.
How do you feel not being at E3 this year? You used to go.
I don't care.
You know, yeah.
I don't care.
The luster's worn out for you?
Too many fucking people. I just don't care.
Yeah?
You know, I'd rather, if I'm going to go to a big event, I'm going to go to a fun con instead.
Go to a fan run thing?
Yeah, I don't care.
All right. Well, over at our chat.
Other people can do all that shit for me. I'll get what I want out of it without, you know, pieces of plastic I'm going to throw away 5 days later.
Over at our chat, over at live.vognetwork.com, we've got Maya who says, hungry for E3 takes. Yes, I know you guys are. So let's get to it. We've got a lot of ground to cover tonight, and we do have to end right at 9 o'clock or a little bit before because we have a press conference at 9. I thought it was going to be in the middle of the show. Every other year they've done 7 o'clock our time, but this year
I think they moved it.
We have a reprieve. Yeah, they bumped it back 2 hours for whatever. That's weird because that's midnight on the East Coast. That's late for those guys. It's the one time of year where the West Coast gets the advantage for a change. So, you know what? I'm sorry, East Coast, but y'all get all those award shows that are broadcast live and not taped late. You get all that other stuff that's live, and so you get Saturday Night Live that's actually live. You know what? This is the one time where we get something, so we're going to take it. All right, let's get into it. E3. So we had two big press conferences that have already happened. Let's start with EA. Admittedly, I did not watch this press conference because it was a terrible time, Saturday afternoon. I was busy with, ironically, another convention that has nothing to do with video gaming here locally. But Loki, I know you watched.
Yeah,
so tell us a little bit about the EA event.
So they started off with, and I'm trying to remember because it was, you know, they had a lot of sports mixed in there, so I kind of tuned out during that stuff. But they started off, I want to say it was Battlefield 1. They were showing off the new DLC that they have coming out for that, which looks pretty cool. So, I mean, that'll be something that'll be, I think it's later this summer or the fall. So they're showing that. And then they talked a little bit about how they're going to be doing some esports-related stuff with Battlefield. I'm not sure if it's tied into Battlefield 1 or if they're doing their own like esports type game. I know they're talking about making some new maps that are gonna be a little bit smaller so that it'd be catered more towards those types of that type of gameplay. And then they showed off, what was it, they were talking about the, well, at the time it was the Xbox Scorpio. So they're showing off some Madden stuff and like, hey, look, you can see the knee pads. And I was like, don't fucking care. But apparently, you know, if you really wanted to see up close, you know, the detail in the people, I mean, the details
and
there.
Sorry,
I guess.
The Google chat noise was the studio computer. Sorry, guys, I thought I'd turn that off, but it was not you. It was us.
So they have that. They showed off a little bit of the Need for Speed I think it was Payback is what it's called. I don't remember the subtitle. The new Need for Speed game that's basically, you know, Fast and the Furious type nonsense. So they showed off a little bit of gameplay from that, which, I mean, it looks like, honestly, to me, it looks like Burnout. Just like how they're doing the takedowns of cars and stuff. Like, that's Burnout. But whatever. I mean, I'm all down for that, I guess. They showed NBA Live, which I just kind of tuned out for. I don't believe they had NHL. Oh, I do remember they had FIFA. And for some reason, I don't know why they do this. And maybe it's because I'm just not a fan of sports games. But I think each year that they try to present FIFA, it's awkward and cringy. Like, it's just weird. Like, there's one year that they did, like, an interview. And there was another. This year they had presenters, which I think are part of, like, either like a football or, you know, in the FIFA realm here. And they... It was just really cheesy. And
yeah,
but
FIFA is the biggest game in the world.
Well, I understand that. But the way they presented it was really cheesy. Like, it just... I lost interest very fast with it. And I don't know.
Was last year the year they did that whole, you are the FIFA?
Oh, no,
you.
They had that. Yeah, they had, like, was it some fictional player's name where they say that, oh, yeah, even during the games, people are just wondering what's going on with this fictional player. I'm like... I don't fucking care. Does really anybody do that? I don't believe that they would do that. So that aside, sports, you know, glancing over that stuff aside, they did show, of course, the big one, which was Star Wars Battlefront 2, mm-hmm. and that looks fantastic. So mm-hmm. they showed off, you know, kind of a trailer for it, kind of it's covering, you know, all three, you know, storylines, and then, of course, they have their own individual storyline that's with that as far as, like, an offline single player and stuff. And then they actually did demonstration of, like, an online multiplayer match. So they had, like, their first multiplayer teaser and stuff. And nice. Then they showed an actual match being played, which it looks pretty awesome.
I'm a little more interested because they're single player. I don't know if that's a game I'll get right out the gate during the busy holiday season.
Well, one of the other things, though, was pretty cool about it is they mentioned, much like they did with Titanfall, all the DLC for it, which is they're going to have a whole season of DLC, is going to be free. So that's pretty nice.
Some comments from our chat over at live.vognetwork.com. DCB Needle Crash in chat says, EA should just give up on NBA Live. Live hasn't been relevant since the 90s. And ActDev says, Loki, the thing is that what they showed is something that people that are into those types of games actually like, which I think is kind of the FIFA stuff being referred to.
Okay, so I get it. I get it. But, like, do they really need to have, like, an interview with, was it Pele last year? Do they really need to have an interview that takes up, like, 10 minutes of a presentation in the middle? Like,
Pele is kind of a legend.
Yeah,
I understand that. But you know what? When you're talking about a conference where you can show off, and they did have, like, games that they're talking about, like, these indie games that they're funding and stuff. When you have a conference that only has a finite amount of time, and you waste 10 minutes of that interviewing someone, save that for a separate video that you could put out right after the conference or something.
I sort of follow you because, like, not to jump ahead, but the whole Porsche reveal at the Xbox thing was also kind of one of those neat but wrong show. You know, this is E3. We're here to see games, not cars. You know, and some people would read me up and down for that because, you know, there's a lot of crossover. But I'm sorry. To me, that was, you know, a few minutes that was wasted from games that were in a sizzle reel that I felt deserved a little more time. But I guess I'm getting ahead of myself. I apologize. But this just sounds like something similar is that the time management sometimes feels weird. And you're
it was weird.
I'm here to see video games. But Darkstalker wants to. Well, while she finishes chewing. But it was a pretty big deal when the Beatles came out on stage. Well, obviously not all of them, but you know what I mean? Those that are,
the
you know.
The two left.
Exactly. Well, and I believe the estates of the others came out to do the rock band Beatles that one year. That was a big deal. So Pele to come out and would be a big freaking deal. But
he's pretty old now.
A 10-minute interview, I agree, is excessive. But anyway, Jamie.
However, a lot of those are tactics, not just for promotion, mm-hmm. but for incomplete content or things they don't want to release too much about. So
like a curtain.
Exactly. A lot of times stuff like that is a filler for a reason.
Smoke and mirrors. I don't agree with that only because before they had, and this is like, oh, last year, of course, before they had that whole interview, they went into detail with all the things that they added to FIFA. So they spent a good portion of time talking about the game, and then they did this interview on top of it as like a special treat or something.
I see.
Like, I get it. You know, people are excited about this player, but that's not really a, this show is not a place for that. And much like, you know, the awkward banter that they were doing, I get it. That's the characters that those guys play. As an outsider, I don't get it. And if you're trying to grow the audience for this, that's not a way to do it. It's just going to be like, this is really weird.
Yes, but does the largest game in the world need to grow its audience?
Yes. If you just give up on growing your audience, then what's the point? Why release a new version each year then?
Fair enough. Okay, so it sounds like the good for you is Battlefront, lots of that. The not so good for you, it sounds like some of the time management issues was a little bit like...
It was just okay. Wasn't... they showed off a trailer for...
But the publisher-specific shows are not usually the big, big... You know what I mean?
No,
like, the publisher-specific ones
are usually...
Well, no,
that's not necessarily true, because...
Prior to last year,
and even maybe last year, Ubisoft has had, like, the best show, I thought, you know, or a pretty good show. So, I mean, the publisher ones are still pretty important sometimes. They did show off a trailer for Anthem, a very brief trailer, and then they didn't really show anything because they're saying, okay, well, stay tuned for the Microsoft show, because that's when we're going to show it off. You know, a little bit of... You know, spoiler there, but so there was that they mentioned as well as a new BioWare IP, and then they had I could not remember what the they had the new, like, funded by EA or what, I forget what the program's called, but they have a game that was by the developer that did The Tale of the Two Brothers. It's a prison escape game.
Yeah,
and it looked kind of neat, so that was pretty cool. And then I think they had another game as well, but I can't remember what it was.
Unfortunately, I didn't watch, but I'm looking at the, was it Need for Speed? Cause I don't think I've
I've talked about Need for Speed.
Was it A Way Out? The Shawshank?
That A Way Out was the one that was the developer by the Two Brothers one, but.
Got it. That's all on my notes here.
I think that's it then, maybe.
The EA Access and Origin Access going free for a little bit.
Yeah, for a week. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, to look into that. That's something there. So, yeah, and the folks in chat are echoing it was A Way Out was the name of that game, but I think we got that, so we're good. Yeah. All right, let's move on, though, because I definitely, you know, EA is one thing, but obviously Microsoft's something we've been really anticipating, and, you know, what is Scorpio and what is all this? So let's jump into Microsoft, and I don't necessarily want to go in order with every single thing they showed at the conference, because there was a lot, but I want to just quickly jump into the big question. Xbox One X is the new, it is no longer Scorpio, it is Xbox One X, which some people have pointed out there's a little bit of a cleverness to it, because Xbox One X is an acronym for Xbox. You could look at it that way. Quickly, what about the name? Actually, one other thing I want to say before we really comment on anything, and this is important. I realize this whole E3 week sometimes can be like a great thing. It's like Christmas for gamers, and it can also be like a really it can be a really hard time of year because it feels like there's so many people that just want to take it as an excuse to be the most cynical fucking gamer in the world. And I just want to point out, sometimes we are critical about game companies here on OLR. Lord knows Loki's had a share of Nintendo things. But even when it comes to Nintendo, like, there's good and there's bad. And I think you can be a fan of video games, but always challenge what can be done better. And I think if there's any critic out there that's 100% positive, that's probably dipping into fanboy a little bit. If there's anybody that's 100% negative, well, that's just somebody cynical. And I would ask, what is that bringing to gaming? Is that person even a gaming fan if they're just 100% negative all the time? So I just want to kind of get that out, is that I think it's important here, where every gamer has a voice, that we look at both the positive and the negative. Because I think with Microsoft today, I'm definitely feeling both. There's some things I'm like really, really happy about. There's some things where I'm not feeling so good about. And I think Microsoft, I don't know. But let's start with this. What about that name, Xbox One X? Loki?
I think it's just confusing. I mean, especially to me, being that it's just one letter off from the Xbox One S, both the S and X sound kind of similar. And you're talking about, let's just say, the everyday mom and pop going in and buying their son or daughter a system, and the systems look identical. It's going to be confusing, aside from the price point and someone explaining to them what the difference is.
I thought Bobby had a hilarious comparison at the opening of his show tonight. Bobby, it was mentioned, Bobby Blackwolf, our pal here at Vogue, had mentioned it was like the Tesla models. You have a Tesla Model S and a Tesla Model X, and it's really funny because you kind of have the same thing going on with the Xboxes at this point. I just thought that was funny. You're right. S and X sound... Now we just need an Xbox One E. But you know...
We have the Elite controllers. There you go, sex.
Dark Sakura? I don't know. You probably
didn't... I don't see how someone would make that error when asking for one. Mm-hmm. Because...
These are the same people, though, that confuse the Wii U for an accessory for the Wii. But so I'm giving them no benefit.
As I was saying... I think, though, that the average person is going to go in with at least staff working there that will say, what do you mean, this or this, and show them the difference. That's what they're trained to do.
Although I do think the S and X is a little confusing, I don't hate the name. I think it's fine, because what I like about it is that unlike Wii, see, there's a big difference here between Wii U and Wii, and Xbox X and Xbox S, is that the Xbox One is meant to be one ecosystem. Wii and Wii U were separate things. I mean, yes, the Wii U played Wii games, but we all know that was kind of a struggle for Nintendo throughout the life of the Wii U. But let me get away from Nintendo because this isn't about them. But the Xbox One S and Xbox One X, the thing that I like about that is that it kind of emphasizes that it's one ecosystem. So it's like you can go with the S model, that does the, it plays the games, but it's, you know, it's only 1080 and da-da-da-da-da. Or you can go with the X that's going to be more expensive, but it does 4K and da-da-da. So the thing I like about it is that it does emphasize it's still one ecosystem. And that because I still think there's some people out there that for some reason didn't get the memo when Microsoft said all of these games that come out on, using my quotey fingers, Scorpio, are going to work on Xbox One. This is not a new system. It is a new way to play the games that are already out there. Loki?
I don't buy that. And you know why I don't buy that? Because history has shown otherwise. You have like a company like Nintendo, for example, that they'll have games like that be like on the 3DS or the new 3DS or something like that. And all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I'll play both these games. And then, oh wait, no, now it's only exclusive to this platform. I see in a couple years.
To be fair, that was like two games.
Okay.
For Nintendo.
But I see in a couple years easily that they'll go back on that word. And I'm not saying that, I'm not blaming Microsoft at all. Sony will do the same shit. So both of them are going to go back on that, and they're going to only, because they got to keep pushing that graphic fidelity,
but
and they're going to keep doing it.
Isn't that kind of what we expect, though? I mean, even.
But then don't fucking come out and lie about it then. I mean, I understand, yeah, right now they will do that. I mean, whatever. I mean, they have to push both platforms. So obviously they're going to say that it's going to always do that. But I don't believe in always.
Speaking of Sony, did you catch the little dig at them with the whole, and this does 4K Blu-ray?
Yeah. And they should, because there's no reason their system should not do that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So let me ask you this. Were you sold on an Xbox One X? Why or why not? And I opened this up to chat, too, because I want to see some of your comments. Were you sold on an Xbox One X today? Why or why not?
No, I'm not. Because I have a PC that can run PC games. And guess what? And every year, it's like, what exclusive games are you going to have for this system that's going to sell this system for me? And guess what? All of those games are on PC. So why am I going to drop with a $499, which was the price point for it, why am I going to drop $499 for this when I have a PC that can run these games? There's no reason for me to do that. I don't own a 4K TV. No reason for me to invest $500 in that and not have a TV to play it on. Yeah, oh yeah, it enhances 1080p games. But you know what? Who cares? I have a 1080p screen on my computer, and I'm fine with just playing with that. I don't need to play at 4K, but also, like Crackdown, which is a game I'm looking forward to, it's not going to sell me the system because I can play that on my PC.
Some comments in chat. YYR says, if the price was $399, I would have grabbed a day one. At $499, I might wait. DCB Needle Crash says, I'm not really sold on it. 4K 60 frames a second can be achieved on PC. I have a PC that can do it, minus the 4K monitors. Zeba says, I was sold on it, but then they said the price, it's too much in my opinion. JD says simply no, because I don't buy Xboxes. Dark Soccer, I know you didn't get to see, or at least I don't think you saw the Microsoft thing today because you were doing other errands, but your household doesn't have an Xbox One at all, right?
Nope, and it's not going to.
So this didn't sell you on it?
No.
Because I would think that maybe for people who waited and don't have an Xbox yet, maybe the Xbox One X could be that
thing. I think it needs to come down in price. I think the price point's too high.
Well, I mean, in answering your question, I have a PC. I have a Mac. I have a Linux computer. I have so many choices on what to play my games on that none of that matters to me. I have a PS4. I have a Wii U. I don't care about the Switch yet, except I kind of want to play ARMS, but that's about it. It's none of it.
It's slowly winning you. Nintendo's thing.
Well, it wasn't
Tuesday might
that there was
you.
Anything to win. I was just indifferent.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm still a little indifferent. I have Therons. I could play theirs, but I don't see anything that's making it worth me putting a fiscal consideration into it. Does that make sense? It's not worth the money yet.
To piggyback on that, because I definitely have a thought that's similar to you guys, is that I think probably the biggest minus I can put in Microsoft. Well, here, I'm going to give you a big plus, and I'm going to give you a big minus right after the fact from Microsoft's thing today. The big plus was I was not expecting to be sold on 4K gaming because I don't have a 4K television yet. But when they were showing Forza, when they were showing Anthem and some of those games they were showing today, I was like, fuck, these games are gorgeous. Even though I'm watching it on a 1080p downgrade, I'm like, I can only imagine what this probably looked like on an actual 4K TV. So I would say, in a way, Microsoft really made me fucking pay attention to 4K gaming today.
Right.
I was going into it thinking it's too soon.
I think
it is way too soon for 4K gaming. Microsoft's going to shoot themselves in the foot.
Here's what they should do if they're smart. If they're smart, come holiday, when this is out, and they have all those retail setups running those really nice 4K TVs, partner with a company that manufactures those to knock off some of the price of the system.
Or one of the specialty stores in Best Buy or something.
Like a Best Buy, that's what I'm saying, that knocks off the price of the system like $100 or something like that if you purchase a 4K TV. Because that's going to not only sell the 4K TV, but that'll sell the system.
Did you want to jump in here before I get to my negative? Oh, I thought you were trying to say something.
No.
Okay.
I'm just sitting here thinking, I have a 4K TV.
Mm-hmm.
I've played games on a 4K, actually on a 5K Retina Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it would be pretty, but I was just thinking about first-person shooters and how nauseous I would get. Oh, my God.
Too much overload.
I got really nauseous playing.
At some point, I know you're a BioWare fangirl. I really want to get your take on the Anthem footage at some point, because the Anthem footage...
I'd have to take time to watch it.
I know. Well, it doesn't take that long.
I'll be honest. I didn't care to look at it. Because I'm still kind of peeved over what they did with Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah,
sold Mass Effect up the river to make.
Yeah, I was going to say, we know why Mass Effect Andromeda is the way it is now because of what they did.
People went to Anthem.
I would have rather that the attention went to Mass Effect Andromeda. So I'm a little bitter and I don't care.
Well, I think in some way you should watch it so you can have a little more basis on what you're going back and forth on, but that's just my opinion. Because Anthem was third person, so I feel like it might not be as bad for a lot of those things. But with Anthem, and I guess I'm getting a little ahead of myself, with Anthem, we didn't really see
story. I'm looking at it.
We didn't see story from Anthem. And when it comes to BioWare, a lot of us think of story. And, you know, when Alan was watching it with me, he kind of made that point. Is like, with BioWare, I expect story. This is giving me none of that. But for me, when I was watching that gameplay, I was like, this is hot. This is like Mass Effect multiplayer, which I love, but in a huge world. So I'm like, I could get down with this, but I want to see more. But anyway, I'm digressing a little bit. So I gave my positive or my plus. My plus is Microsoft convinced me 4K gaming could be the future today. Here's the negative. I was not convinced I need an Xbox One X to do it, because walking away from my TV or whatever, leaving that press conference, I was like, I need to upgrade my computer. I need to upgrade my computer from from what it is now to be able to support 4K gaming, which is something I was already on the fence with. But every single one of those things they showed today, they were saying it was Windows 10 as well as the Xbox. So there's nothing that is specific to consoles. It is only the
third parties, the
Xbox ecosystem, if you will.
Yeah, it's really just third parties. I mean, I don't know, like... Yeah, I mean, that's even what it was like last year. You know, when they did all the and let's just step back for a second here. Microsoft really overuses the word exclusive for stuff that's not quite exclusive. I mean,
it was more like they had an exclusive trailer for a game that's coming.
It's like
to
world
systems.
Premiere. Yeah, it's like, dude, what the fuck is this shit? I mean, like, I get it. You're trying to say you have all these exclusive titles, but they're not really exclusive. They're like, it's out first on Xbox, or we have the console exclusive for this game that's been out on PC already, or I don't know. It's they're overusing it.
I want to go from some comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Some people commenting on Anthem. Zeba says, Anthem looks beautiful. Bobby Blackwell says, I'm glad the attention went to a new IP. We keep crying for new IPs, but then we bitch when they make new IPs. And then let's see other comments in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Tiger Claw says, BioWare's A-team was spending more time on Anthem than they were with Mass Effect Andromeda. Yeah, and that's, I mean, I can understand why as a Mass Effect fan that can be a little bit of a, wow, I got screwed
even
in this equation.
I'm watching this gameplay and it's just pissing me off.
But even like...
But I'm sorry, I'm not understanding why. Why is it pissing you off?
Because I would have rather the attention go into Mass Effect. Mass Effect could have been this.
But here's the thing, though. Like, Mass Effect never drew me into it. This looks awesome. Like, this I'd want to play.
So interesting. Interesting. I don't know. I mean, it's just, this is one of those cases where everybody has different opinions. I don't know. All right. SSG100 Matt in chat says, each segment on OLR should have the exclusive tag before it starts.
Windows 10 and Xbox One exclusive.
I've heard some...
For a little bit of time.
I've heard some podcasts that do it, and it gets old. Trust me.
And Square... I mean, Square Enix, come on. What is up with episodic everything, dude? Like the Life is Strange prequels episodic thing. I mean, that's kind of annoying. It's put out a full game.
Well, but but some people, I mean, that was the highlight of the whole dang convention or the whole dang show for some people was the fact that they're doing that prequel to Life is Strange.
I don't know.
Here's the other thing, too, is that people are comparing it to Destiny, and I don't like Destiny.
I don't think... I wasn't getting the Destiny vibe from it. I'm just not... Somebody, like, 2 weeks ago said it was going to be BioWare's Destiny and one of those things, and now everybody is saying it's BioWare's Destiny. And I'm like, I didn't get that read from... Because Destiny reminds me of Halo. It doesn't remind me of what I saw, but that's
me. I also hate Halo.
But the question...
But I'm saying Anthem looks nothing like it. To me,
now that we've had time to digest some of the footage from Anthem, how the fuck am I gonna fuck people in that suit is what I want to know. I mean, like, is it built for that? I mean, is that even a thing? I can't figure out how that's gonna
work. In Anthem suit, fuck you.
Am I gonna like get a flying start in somebody? I mean, like,
they got a fleshlight built in, or you know, the reverse for ladies. All right. Tiger Claw says Anthem was giving me an Iron Man vibe because of the armor with the jetpack.
It looked pretty cool. Now, in some of the other stuff that they were showing off, Sea of Thieves spent way too much time
on
that.
Spent way too much time on Sea of Thieves. But, I mean, it looked... Rare is one of their people that's pumping them new IPs, and so that's cool. And there were things about the game that I liked, but you know... Okay, here's the thing with Sea of Thieves. What they showed at the press conference, I was like, okay, whatever. And then I'm like, wow, this is going on a long time. Still going. It's trying to be self-referential and cute and have that Rare wit. Okay, whatever. But here's the thing. After the conference was over, if you went back onto Mixer on their Xbox channel, they were doing some type of Sea of Thieves reveal or you know, first look. And they were using that Mixer thing that actually had four people playing it at once for the developers, and they were just playing the game for real and talking to each other. And I was like, this sells me more on the game than what they showed in that thing that they showed on stage. And it also is selling the benefits of Mixer. Missed opportunity,
and
in my opinion.
Also, I'd rather see... I mean, don't get me wrong, the cheesy pirate dialogue was kind of funny for the little trailer. The year before was really cringy with the fake, you know, chit chat stuff. I'd rather see like developers just kind of talking about their game and just idly chit chatting and stuff over it instead of all this fake bullshit that they added in there. And to be fair, Anthem had that shit too. I mean, they had the fake chit chat over, you know, for multiplayer that kind of annoyed me. Terry Crews and Crackdown. I'm on board. I was on board with Crackdown already. Terry Crews added to it. Yes, I'll buy it twice. I mean, if it
goes. That whole reveal was pretty good. And it's got such a Tron look to it, which you know I
am
for.
A little worried because I don't see all that destruction that was, you know, promised before. Remember, the cloud was going to make all this destruction happen or something like that. I'd not seen that in the trailer anymore. So I don't know if that's been omitted from it or not, because it was quite brief, aside from Terry Crews being in there, which I'm fine with. I don't know. Or if that's still going to be like online only, because they were saying that online was going to have that originally.
Bummer that that means he was probably too busy to do Doomfist for all the people that were hoping for that on the Blizzard front, is that now he's in Crackdown 3. But at least he got in a video game somewhere.
I don't think he was. It's just voice.
That's true. That's true.
I
mean, voice actors can do lots and lots of games. And it missed our show roll tonight, but somebody posted a thing on my Facebook that says the with that whole strike thing, they are going back to the table for more talks. So that's a good thing, that maybe there's going to be resolution on that whole front while E3 is going on. But anyway, I digress. Yes, I was excited about Crackdown 3 as well. That was definitely, I was almost surprised that that didn't get as much time as some of the other things they spent a lot of time on. Like for me, they spent way too much time on that Shadows of War. Was that what it was called?
The Shadows of Mordor game,
basically.
It looks cool. I mean, I like the way.
But they spent way too much time on something
time.
That's not an exclusive.
Well, they did the same thing with Ubisoft's, Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah, that's true.
With my UAV Hawk.
See, I'm not usually into Assassin's Creed games. I'm not. But I was excited to see that. That in particular was a good little feature that they did, because it finally allowed me to see this is what actual gameplay looks like in 4K, or at least in the alpha footage, because we all know that sometimes games don't look like what they look like on the E3 stage. But at least it still gives you a sense like this is what the game is intended to actually look like when you're playing it. And we were getting that from Assassin's Creed.
And remember, my hope out of E3 was those wow moments, like, wow, you know, I was not expecting this. Metro Exodus, I think, was that wow moment for me, because I wasn't really familiar with Metro until I had the review last light, and so I got to play through it, and I really liked it. I know you hate kind of like a lot of the first-person shooters, but this is more of like a story-driven first-person shooter. I'd say it's more like a BioShock, or like, actually BioShock's pretty good.
I don't hate all the first-person shooters, but I'm not a big fan of jump scares, and doesn't this game kind of use a lot of those?
It's not so bad. It's just like, I mean, BioShock does the same thing. It's kind of similar to that. It's not entirely jump scares. There are some of those.
It looked nice for what it was. I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know, I and it's like I said, I don't like to always take the cynical gamer perspective. Yes, there are some things I get irritated about, but I feel like I can sit there and go, like with Assassin's Creed, I can sit there and go, you know, I'm probably not going to buy this game. This is usually a series I get into, but this looks nice, and I bet some people are really into this, and this is a good thing for Microsoft right now. So, you know, I had a similar take with the Metro, is I was like, okay, for people that are into this, this looks really hot in 4K. Yeah. But I don't know if this will be something I buy day one, but you never know. Sometimes I find new things I don't expect I'm going to buy.
Now,
I do.
One of the things that they didn't spend a whole lot of time on was talking about some of those in Xbox indie stuff, like the ID at Xbox games.
That went way too fast for me. I was really upset with that, because there was stuff in there I wanted to know more about. There was a freaking Fable card game in there, and I was like, what's that? Is that like Hearthstone, but Fable?
Yeah, that's supposed to be coming out soon. The Last Night was that one that was all kind of sprite. It was the whole, was it cyberpunk sprite-looking game?
Mm-hmm.
That looks pretty sweet.
Yeah, it looked like something Devolver Digital would have usually be putting out. But yeah, I got it. Yeah, that was interesting. Let's see. Oh, I got to mention one that got me excited, the sequel to Ori. Because Ori and the Blind Forest, beautiful game. It's Metroid-esque, but I hate calling it that because then it makes you think it's Metroid. It's not, but it's, you know, that whole type of game. But Ori's beautiful. If you haven't played it, you know, give it a shot. I must confess, I haven't beaten it, but I've spent a good chunk of time with it, and I really enjoy it. So when they announced the sequel, which I think had been leaked a couple days prior, I was really excited to hear that they are continuing on with it and that they kind of featured it as much as they did. Usually games like that from Microsoft are kind of a, oh, and this too, da-da, that's it. You know, kind of like what they did with Cuphead. But people were pointing out to me that Cuphead they've been teasing for years. And now finally. So I kind of get it in that regard. But like when I was seeing the Cuphead footage, I was like, fuck, this game looks hot.
And just don't.
I am so looking forward to Cuphead.
And don't let them confuse you into believing that you can only get that shit on the Windows 10 store. It's on fucking Steam. Do not buy it on the Windows 10 store. Don't buy anything on the Windows 10 store if you can avoid it.
Well, to be fair, didn't they say it was Xbox Anywhere? So if you bought it on the Windows 10 store, you would also have the Xbox One version. So that might sell some people on it. Some people may not care about that. But see, for me, I'm sorry, I find that Steam isn't going to put it on a console for me. Except my Steam box. But that thing, those Steam boxes don't wear well. They don't. they don't handle well. Anyway. Okay. So let's see. Going to just a couple other things I want to point out. Okay, this is one that got a lot of people going, Minecraft, because one of the things they announced is that Minecraft is going to 4K. And of course, you know, Twitter, you know, oh, when I think 4K, I think of Minecraft. I have to admit, I liked what they showed. I mean, it didn't make me go like, oh my God. But I was like, neat. It's a free update. And these graphics, yeah, they look cool. Like, I like for keeping the Minecraft aesthetic.
I've been saying that they should be doing, you know, like some of the custom shaders that they have out there and stuff. And I think, you know, because I was like, well, they've got all this power that's in these consoles. You can't tell me that they can't upgrade the way Minecraft looks. I get it. You keep, you know, everything looking, you know, blocky as it is, but there's still some pretty nice shaders out there, like Sonic Ether's unbelievable shaders, and they have a lot of other ones that are kind of similar type stuff where they change like the quality of the water and they change like some of the foliage and the lighting and everything, and it kind of looks like that's what this is, except the ones that they have out that have been out for several years still look better.
So
than
you're
this.
Basically and saying modders did it better.
Modders did it better already, and I'm like, come on. I'm like, it's only a little bit more that they got to push it to make it look nice. And it's all right, I guess, but it could be just so much better with just a tiny bit more, you know, effort put in.
But to be fair, the other thing they announced, I know you're a little more hyped about, and that's the fact that now there's going to be crossplay on everything, basically.
Yeah, they were talking about that before, how they were going to do that. And before it was just Android, iOS, and VR, and the Windows 10 version, which I think works right now, but now it's also going to include the Xbox One, I'm assuming the Switch, and I don't know if the Xbox 360 is going to do it as well, but I know the Xbox One. I think it's all the newer gen ones, because I don't think the Wii U...
But like, not PlayStation 4.
No, not PlayStation 4, because...
They couldn't work it out. But obviously, there's a Sony-Microsoft conflict there. But, you know, I'm sorry, but that was somewhat powerful to me to see a Nintendo Switch of sorts at Microsoft's conference.
I give them props for that.
That
I
was very interesting to me to see that.
That it is. And that's more power to it.
And for those who don't know what I'm referring to, it wasn't the device itself, but it was a mock-up one made out of blocks. There was no mistake. It was a Nintendo Switch with the blue and red controllers in the Minecraft world. And for a company to show even a picture of another company's product like that, I thought was kind of a big deal.
And they basically said they have the marketplace coming, which is supposed to be mod-supporting. So that's user-created skins and tile packs that they're going to have. The thing I don't necessarily like about it, I guess it's all right, but they can sell skins, so they don't have to necessarily be free. So you can buy that. I mean, so you can say, oh, they're going to add microtransactions to it. But then again, they have skins that are being sold now that they sell from, like, Microsoft. So I guess it's not a huge deal. But, I mean, the fact that they're doing the cross-platform play is pretty awesome. They're doing the Realm stuff, which they're going to basically allow you to have, you know, like your own server that, you know, can work across all these different platforms, which is pretty cool. I wish they had free options for that, but, you know, whatever. I guess that's the limitations you have with this process. That's all good stuff.
Stoppy in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, I wonder if that's a sign that they are cutting PlayStation 4 support, like, completely. Like, that's it.
No
more
I don't think that they're cutting support for the PlayStation 4. I think it's just Sony is just not playing nice.
So, like, there could be a thing with PlayStation Network and that whole thing.
It's
not surprising. I think it's more like the Nintendo Switch is surprising, whereas the PlayStation is not. Does that make sense? Like, I would have fully expected that it's only Windows 10 to Xbox to tablets, and that's it. Like, the fact that Nintendo's involved is a surprise, in a way. Anyway.
And then, of course, you know, the console. But I think... It's pretty awesome. Oh, and VR, but I mean, that's such a small portion of it.
Well, let's just hit on a couple other quick things, and then I do want to move on for the sake of time, because we still have a lot of news that didn't even come out from these conferences, but there are a couple of big things of the conference I want to touch on. One of them, you just mentioned a little bit, VR, or in this case, lack thereof. Surprised at all that Microsoft did not touch VR, AR,
I don't
any
think
of
it's
it.
Ready yet, which is weird. Like, I don't know, maybe... That's a tough thing right there, because if they're talking like, you know, all this one ecosystem thing, are they going to be able to push that with, you know, like if they were going to put out VR for Xbox One? I don't think they have really enough yet to show for that. That's why I think they're taking the safe route with 4K gaming, because at least they know 4K is kind of a technology that's being adopted a little bit quicker than, say, VR right now, or VR or AR. So it's probably more of a safe bet. Not to say they can't do that later on with the power that they have in the Xbox One X, but it's probably a little bit too early to show off anything, or too much of a gamble.
Yeah. Well, maybe, especially since, you know, the hardware they're pushing this year is Xbox One X. They really wanted to say, you know, you need 4K games, and they just wanted to focus on that message today. And I don't fault them for that. You know, if the HoloLens concept or whatever isn't ready for consumers, then it's not the time to show it. Let that bake another year. That's fine.
And really, when you think about it, I mean, like, you know, with VR and what they probably would implement, they don't have a camera, really. It's going to be weird, like, you know, if they said, oh, yeah, we're going to have you buy a camera, Kinect, and then it would work with this, you know, VR headset. And that just seems weird. I know that they have tech now that actually uses, like, the actual headset as the camera to kind of read the room and everything. But I think it's just too early for them to announce anything. And like I said, this is probably the safer route to go.
To register participation for this week's episode of Orange Lounge Radio at VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase TAXI.
And one more thing I'll mention about this conference, then we're going to move on to our gaming weeks. But I think this was the thing that nobody thought would be announced and was kind of the big surprise, original Xbox compatibility. So, and it's funny because we're coming off of, you know, this whole, oh, Alan's here and he brought me a Frappuccino. What a nice boy. Thank you so much. Wow. So this is vanilla with it. Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't want to
that was worth interrupting the show for. Thank you, Alan. I really appreciate that. Okay. Did you bring enough for the whole class? I'm just kidding. Yeah. All right. Sorry, guys. All right. Anyway, so Xbox original system compatibility. I don't think anybody was expecting that, but very interesting the fact that it's the same week that there's been a lot in the news, you know, ours said it. Did their own type of investigation, and Microsoft's really kind of pushed back and said, you're wrong, basically, without being so harsh about it. They're just basically saying, the way you analyze this was not right, basically.
I would probably trust the platform holder that can actually see those statistics versus, like, an independent.
Well, here it is. All that talk at the end of the day, Microsoft believed in it enough to double down on it by saying, and now here is original Xbox support. That, to me, is much more powerful than the he said, she said of the numbers game.
Exactly. I mean, like, think about it. That's, like, that's definitely uncalled for. No one really expected that or even necessarily was demanding that. It was just something that, hey, we can do this, so.
But that being said, will you don't own an Xbox One, so I guess maybe you're the wrong person. Would this mean that Xbox games could work on PC? I guess not, because Xbox 360 games still don't.
That would be awesome, but no.
I'm curious to see what games they support. I still have most of my games from original Xbox, like Halo 1 and Halo 2, DDR Universe, although what I expect's going to happen is that, and this sounds silly, but I expect it's going to be the Xbox emulator on 360 emulated through Xbox 360 emulation. Emulator of an emulator. I mean, why not? That makes sense, right? Couldn't Microsoft just do that?
They could do that. I don't know if that would be the way they would do that. Maybe they have a better way of doing it now. The other thing I was going to mention, too, one of the caveats of that is they were saying that with that, System Link is going to be working across all three generations. So, like, say you wanted to bring out your Xbox One with Halo 2 running on it, you can play that against an original Xbox.
Oh, snap. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that's pretty neat.
Wow, that's great. That's great. So, that's because I guess the architecture of Xbox Live hasn't changed drastically since the original Xbox days.
Well, yeah, it's all System Link is without Xbox Live as well. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense that it would work. Crackdown was one of those games that supports System Link.
Well, that's great. I hope even the streaming stuff works with the original Xbox games and all the stuff they built into 360 games. That would be rad,
yeah.
Especially for a retro game fan like me. I'm really excited about that. All right. So there you go. So overall, the Microsoft stuff, how are you guys feeling? Anything you guys want to say further to kind of wrap up this Microsoft thing?
I'm just getting a little tired of all the zombie games, honestly. It was State of Decay 2. It felt like, you know, especially in the beginning, it was like, oh, hey, it's arena game. Oh, hey, it's a zombie game. Oh, now another arena game. It's like, dude, let's show some different types of games. That was a little bit tiresome. I think there's a lot of titles that they showed that I'm just not interested in, but there were a few that were interesting. Sadly enough, though, and as I've been saying for the last few years, they haven't shown me anything that wants that's convinced me to buy their console. And yeah, I guess I have a copy of Windows 10, so there's a win for them. But dude, it's kind of like my only option, you know, if I want to experience most of the stuff that's out there. So I wouldn't exactly call that a win, means because it's kind of a requirement. But on top of that, it's just, I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, what's selling me on this if I have a PC that can run it? Nothing. So who's the, if you're like trying to sell an enthusiast on this, who is really the target audience for this? I don't know.
For me, the big winner today was PC gaming. Was the big winner today. And I was, I guess I am more ready for 4K gaming than I thought I was. And I look forward to playing a lot of those games that were shown on my PC.
I guess, you know,
that's the weird place.
To be honest,
I'm at.
If you don't have a high end PC and you really don't want to drop, like, it's probably going to be over $1,000 for one.
Sure.
Then it's not a bad option if you already have a 4K TV to drop $499 for it. So I could see that as a plus if you don't have a PC that can run that stuff. But if you do, there's probably not really anything for you there.
And YYR in chat kind of reemphasizing that, saying, please remind yourselves of this fact. Most gamers do not have gaming PCs. So that's who the Xbox One X is ultimately for at the end of the day. But for us, I guess, here as gamers, we're not feeling that because right. Most of us do run computer rigs.
Well,
that
and on top of that, though, if you do not have a 4K TV and you're not really looking to spend the money on one, I mean, they did just drop the price of the Xbox One, at least this week, is going to be $50 cheaper. So that might be something to consider, or wait until holiday when those games come out and wait for the deals. I bet you anything they're going to have a bundle with that Crackdown at some point. So just yeah. Wait.
All right. Well, let's get into the video games that we have been playing this week with How Was Your Gaming Week? Believe it or not, we still have a lot of other news to get into, and we will get to those. We're going to try to fit in your calls tonight as well at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype a little later in the show. But again, we do have to end at 9 o'clock due to other E3 events going on. But we do, of course, we have to talk about our gaming weeks. There's still stuff we're playing. Dark Sakura.
Shane loaned me the Nonary games, so I didn't get a chance to start them yet, but it's ready to go. I've been a busy weekend. I actually played a little World of Warcraft. I've played the usual stuff on the phone. I also, out of just morbid curiosity, downloaded Dragon Ball Online. And it makes me think a lot of the second iteration of Ragnarok Online. Kind of that same feel. The game, the English version anyway, is very unfinished. I mean, the game is there, but like several whole quests are still in Korean. So it wasn't even developed by a Japanese company. It's all in Korean. And then some that's in English, and like it's poorly translated English at that. So I don't know. It's kind of neat. It's novel, but I'm probably not going to play any more of it. But that's really the only thing new and notable on my list.
All right. Loki, how was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton. I played a little bit of Grand Theft Auto 5, just kind of messed around with that. I did play this game, though, that I saw. I think it was out of a game jam that someone created. They had linked it on Twitter. It's a game called Baba Is You. And what it was, it's a very simple...
Oh, the Babadook is very in right now. I don't know if you know about this.
The what?
The Babadook.
It's officially
the LGBT icon of 2017, the Babadook.
Baba Slay.
Yes, I am Baba Shook,
Baba
honey.
Yes.
Okay, well, I don't understand what the hell you're talking about right now.
That's fair. Okay.
Work, here, Baba.
Okay, for those that don't understand, there is a horror film called Babadook. And Netflix, in its glory of categorizing things on Netflix, accidentally put this movie in LGBT films this week. So now this is this huge meme, is that the Babadook, which is, you know, a killer monster thing that kind of looks like, I don't know, is this huge LGBT icon. And already there were some parades, I think, in Washington, D.C., there's Babadooks in the parade. Somebody went to the Drag Race finale that was taped. Not one of the drag queens on the show, but somebody went dressed as the Babadook. So this is the hot new LGBT sensation for 2017. That's awesome. The Babadook. So okay. And just it's getting to say the word Babadook.
Okay. This has nothing to do with that. Sadly. So Baba Is You is basically, it's a puzzle game. So the point of the game is to get to the win condition in there. So a lot of it is, and what's fun is it's kind of like programming. So in within the game screen itself, they'll have, you know, little phrases. So Baba is you, and then they'll have like flag is win, brick is stop, that type of stuff. And so you have to get through these mazes by not only manipulating, you know, where you're going, but by also manipulating these conditions in there by pushing stuff around. So, like, for example, you could push, you know, brick into is you, and then you become all the bricks on the map. Or, you know, you could put, like, that touching the fire, which would normally kill you, is win, and so all of a sudden touching the fire is the win condition in the game. And so it's kind of clever in that sense that you have to keep moving stuff around. And so I enjoyed it. It was like 12 levels that the guy made for this game jam and finished in about like 30 minutes. But it's fun.
That's a fun concept.
Yeah,
I like that.
It's a pretty cool concept. So go check it out. Baba is You. I think it's on itch.io. So go search for it. And it's free. So why not? And then what else did I play? Honestly, that's it. I've been thinking about things like to do for like streaming, because since everybody's getting on that streaming train, so one of the concepts I came up with was, you know, I like the Elder Scrolls Skyrim, so I wanted to do, you know, just kind of like, you know, mod rim. So basically, it would be a Skyrim game with some really terrible mods. Like, I'd randomly pick like 100 terrible mods, and then from that, I'd start off with like, you know, say 25 of them enabled, and it would be at random, and then keep adding to it each time until the game just breaks.
Okay, I like that. There are modder shows on Twitch, but I like your concept. I do.
Just it would be good. Stranger and stranger each time. That's the whole point.
That's good. I feel like now I need a concept, because everybody else, you know, Bobby wants to do this whole more VR streaming thing. You want to do your mod thing, and I feel like I need an angle.
I just think, I don't know. I couldn't think of anything interesting.
No, that's good.
Like Other than if I could go back and play Grand Theft Auto 4, because I kicked ass at Grand Theft Auto 4. Just nobody's playing Grand Theft Auto 4, so who knows?
Come on a night like this in our chat over at live.vognetwork.com says, call it Loki's Bad Rim Stream.
Bad Rim Stream?
There's a joke there. But anyway, all right.
Or I should see below that Loki's Rim Job.
Yes. That's the joke.
Yep.
I like that, Loki's Rim Job. I think you'd get a lot of viewers.
But it doesn't really shout out mods, though, so that's
probably... Okay, mod rim job. I don't know.
Mod rim, yeah.
All right, anyway. Okay, so my gaming week. I actually, speaking of streaming, I had a great Overwatch stream last night. I had a lot of fun. I was thinking on a Saturday night, nobody would be watching, but I had a great stream last night on Overwatch, so that was a lot of fun. Speaking of streaming, I will be focusing on, and I know not everybody's a fan of this, but this is a game I've been looking forward to for a very long time. Stormblood, Final Fantasy XIV's newest expansion, launches on Friday, so I will be dedicating some serious hours to streaming Stormblood. So those of you that kind of want to, you know, look at the game with me as I go through the story, I'll be doing a few hours on Friday and Saturday. Obviously, with the OLR 15th next Sunday, it's going to be kind of busy, but you know, I'm going to try to fit in as much. And then I go to Chicago on the Thursday next, so you know, I'm going to fit in as much as I can in that time, but I will be spending some serious hours on Stormblood. But anyway, outside of that and streaming and everything, I did check out some new games this week. Well, I guess this does tie back to streaming, sorry, but this is somebody else's stream. Our pal at VOG Network, Flocko Jones, has been streaming a lot of Friday the 13th, and I watch enough of it because, you know, Flocko's a friend of mine. I want to support him, and I was very happy he got affiliate ship and all that. And he, you know, he does some funny stuff, and Extifer will join him sometimes. He kind of got into playing a lot of the Friday the 13th game on PlayStation 4. And I was like, well, I think I might be sold on this, but I want to get it on PC because it seems like that's where everybody was at. But it was seriously getting to the point where, like, he would be playing the game and he'd be like, I wonder who's Jason. I'd be like, push up to see who Jason is. And that will show you. He's like, I feel like, oh God, I'm backseat driving on a stream right now, which, you know, better me than a stranger, but still, it got to the point where I was like, you know what? I just need to fucking buy this game. And Flocko's birthday was over the weekend, and he was doing a birthday stream, and I was like, you know what? For Flocko's birthday, I'm going to buy a video game for myself.
So, how nice of you.
How nice of me. So I bought Friday the 13th on PlayStation 4, but so I could play with Flocko and all of that. And why not? It seems like pretty much, you know, the people I would play this with are on PlayStation 4. So I finally bought the game on PlayStation 4. I got in one round with him that night, and except I got killed first. Because, and again, this was me being the backseat driver.
we all went for the car. And I'm like, never go for the car, because Jason is always at the car because he knows everybody goes for the car. And but it was like Extrovert had the keys, I had the gas, and Flacco had whatever else you need, the fuse or whatever else you need to get the car going. So like all three of us are running to the car. And since Extrovert and Flacco had played before, they got it ready to go. And I'm sitting there spilling gas all over the floor because I can't do it because I haven't played the game before. And then Jason shows up and murders me. And I'm like, and sure enough, we can't get the fucking car to start. So I mean, it was, I'm sure it was hilarious to watch, but that was frustrating. But anyway, we will learn and we will do better in the future with future games and so forth. So there was that. But another game on PlayStation 4, I haven't really had a chance to do any streaming or talk about yet, but I did buy this game and I've been playing it a little bit over the weekend. Wipeout Omega Collection came out, and I was like, I like the Wipeout games. I still don't have an F-Zero for this generation, so Wipeout is kind of my... Well, Fast Racing Neo does this too, but Wipeout is my other little F-Zero substitute. So if you didn't know, Wipeout Omega Collection is out on PlayStation 4, and it is a combination of the most recent two Wipeout games, although Wipeout on PlayStation 3 had like a full-service expansion, so it's kind of three games.
I thought it was also like the Vita one as well.
It is. It's the Vita game, and then it's the two on PlayStation 3. That, and so it's that, but on PlayStation 4, and it's all kind of in one package and just packaged as like one big game, sort of, even though there's like three different campaigns within it. But I don't know what else to say. It's Wipeout, and it's pretty, and it's fast, and it's apparently it does like 4K and stuff on the Pro. Since I have a PlayStation Pro, but I have an older TV, all I can say is that it's smooth. Like butter. It's a, you know, it's a very smooth, fast game. And it's fun. It's still Wipeout. So I'm enjoying playing that. So, I want to make more progress to some of the campaigns. I haven't even touched online or any of that stuff, but I was just happy to, play some Wipeout. So that was the other game I played this week. Wipeout Omega Collection. Cool. All right. Housekeeping. So guess what? If you hadn't heard, even though we've been saying it a lot the past few weeks, but I know some folks are here tonight because Z3 who haven't been listening in a while. Next week, 7 days from tonight, Orange Lounge Radio turns 15 years old. That's right, 15 years old. So our 15th anniversary show is next week. And just stay tuned to social media throughout the week because we may be doing some special things throughout the week to kind of, you know, mark that, you know, 15 years old. I would go so far as to say, I mean, again, the internet is a big place, but in 15 years, I have yet to find another. We will be the first gaming podcast to hit 15 years, consecutive years. I'm not sure if any other show, any other podcast has hit 15 years.
Well,
I'm not aware.
Podcasting has, but
yeah, that's, and to be fair, it started as a live internet show and then shifted into a podcast. So I realize there's some nuances there where I can't really say it's a 15-year-old podcast because it's not, but you know, I mean, are there a lot of internet shows out there that have been going for 15 years consecutively? No breaks. So, you know, well, obviously a week here and a week there for holidays, but you guys know what I mean. Like, you know, we've been going for 15 years. So, yeah. So we're going to celebrate next week. I'm not going to promise a big party or a celebration, but I will have Skype open a little longer next week. We're probably actually not going to be able to have it open too much tonight because of the Bethesda thing. But
then next week, E3 wrap-up. So.
Well, yeah, but it'll be different because we can kind of like solely focus on that. And then we can move into, if you guys want to call, talk about OLR, talk about, you know, what the show has done for you or what you want to see from us in the next 15 years. We can talk about that and that'll be fun. And Bobby and I have been talking behind the scenes about some things we want to do for VOG too that I think will be really good for the show's future and kind of like, you know, what'll happen in the next few years. As more and more people are doing this video streaming thing, that's for sure. You know, where do we fit into that? So that'll be really exciting. So yes, that is in 7 days. Also, a longtime OLR fan, and she kind of comes out for the bigger shows. Misty is going to be here. Misty OLR will be here in studio. I'm not sure of anybody else who says they will be here in person yet, but if you're interested in coming, if you're in the area, drop me a line and we can probably make that happen. I should probably invite Gabe. I bet he would want to come for that episode because he's pushing again. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it because I didn't sign anything. I'm getting a little preview of the release build of his game this week. So I know he's pushing that because that's finally happening. So maybe he'll want to come talk about that now that that's about out. So, all right. Anyhow, let's move on into some gaming news. You can always follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OLR, facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio. But for now, more news. Loki.
Yes. So they had this whole Pokemon Nintendo Direct, and they talked about, you know, some new stuff that's coming out. And everyone's like, oh, shit, here comes the Pokemon game on the Switch. Well, yeah, it's a Pokemon game, I guess. Pokken Tournament is heading to the Switch. Pokken Tournament Deluxe. Woo! Five new fighters.
You know what? Okay, here's the thing. You're not excited about that, but, like, Act Deft is a huge fan of Pokken, I know, and he's really excited about that. So this is kind of one of those things where it's like, you're into it or you're not. You know what I mean?
No, Pokken Tournament's fine. I'm just like, you know, we're adding five fighters for $60, basically.
But if you miss the Wii U, as a lot of people did, and this is going to be your first Pokken game, then great. But I will say this. For me, I did buy Pokken on the Wii U, and I'm where you're at. I'm like, this isn't going to be enough for me to justify on the Switch because I'm not that into Pokken. But cool for the people who are.
Yeah, so they've added five new players, as I mentioned. So they've got Darkrai, Scizor, Empoleon, Krogunk, and Decidueye. I probably butchered those. They're also adding three versus three team battles, ranked and group matches. And it's coming out on the Switch on September 22nd. Along with that, they're also launching some new 3DS Pokemon games. Pokemon Sun and Moon, they're getting the Ultra version. So Pokemon Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
This sounds a little Black 2, White 2 to me. They haven't confirmed that that's the case, but that's the vibe I'm getting from these, is that this is like Black 2, White 2.
Yeah, so they're saying that it's like an alternate storyline from the original, and it's got some additional Pokemon as well. And those will be coming out on the 3DS. November 17th, they're not coming out on the Switch, which is kind of weird. I'm thinking, though, that maybe they're going to announce something at
No, I'm going to tell you right now, don't get your hopes up for that. Pokemon Company kind of does their own thing. Don't. If you're going into E3 going, they're going to wait and announce E3. Don't. I mean, be pleasantly surprised if they do, but I'm telling you, not going to happen. Nintendo's only going for 30 minutes on Tuesday, and this ain't there. And you know what? That's okay. I mean, yeah, I think a lot of us had our hopes high because of this Pokemon Stars leak and all this stuff. But the reality is, Pokemon tends to lag behind on the systems a little bit, at least with the mainline games. And this was true when the 3DS was well out on the market and doing fine, and yet they still released Black 2, White 2 on the DS. Like, this just really... But then again, the 3DS could play DS games, so it's also a little different. But I digress. I don't think it's that big a deal that the Pokemon games did not skip to the Switch. I think we all want to see it go there, but they're going to have to go there eventually. Right now, Nintendo is pushing that new 2DS or whatever they called it. I can't remember the name of it anymore. But that thing they are still pushing, so they need a game to kind of go with that. So here you go, among some other things. I mean, to be fair, there's other things in the DS universe that are happening as well. So there you go. There's Pokemon still keeping that going.
And spoiler, you might want to just wait until holiday when they have a bundle with those the new 2DS and that.
Oh, that's not a spoiler. That's inevitable. Come on. All right. So, but okay, fine. I mean, that's fine. I don't think there was any necessarily bad news in there.
No,
but
it's kind of, disappointing. I'm not surprised.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about another game announcement from this week was the Mega Man Legacy Collection 2. That's right. Mega Man Legacy Collection 2 is on its way out, and it is going to be out on PC, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It's being released in August. It will be $20, and it contains Mega Man 7, 8, 9, and 10. Mega Man 9 and 10, of course, a little bit newer. Those games were on the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 because that was kind of when Mega Man came back in its old 8-bit style. Remember those games, 9 and 10? So that's a part of this. But, of course, 7 and 8 were very different because they were not on the original NES. They were on later systems. So, yeah. So, well, 7 was on Super Nintendo and 8 was on PlayStation. So, you know, these are all being packaged together into one thing. So that's kind of cool. But it is starting to get very glaring that Capcom is omitting the Switch yet again. And they did this with the Disney Afternoon Collection, and now they're doing it again with the universe that people are most familiar with Mega Man.
Could it be because they're going to include all these games in their like Netflix style service, and so it would be kind of stupid to sell
That's
it?
Where my brain's going, is that maybe they are skipping the Switch because there's more money to be made on Virtual Console, or perhaps the Netflix thing, whatever. I mean, we still don't know like what the hell the difference is, if there is one. I'm hoping we get some answers to that on Tuesday, but again, I'm setting my bar at a very low level so that I don't get pissed off. And I suggest y'all do the same. You know you're going to hear about Mario Odyssey. You know you're going to hear about, you know, Splatoon 2. You know, keep your bar low around there, and you have a lot less room to get pissed off at something not being there. Don't fucking expect Metroid. Don't expect F-Zero. Don't fucking do it, because you're going to be mad. So why do that? Why just say, you know what? It's going to be 30 minutes of Super Mario Odyssey, and then you're going to be happy with anything outside of that. Anything. So just a suggestion. But anyway, yeah, they are skipping Nintendo Switch and Nintendo 3DS. They're just saying, all Capcom's saying is, we're focusing on developing the game for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC. There's no further information available on this subject at this time. So in other words, enough people are not complaining about it. But I mean, not that usually I'm one for, you know, Twitter campaigns, but I simply took the official Capcom announcement, did the quote tweet, and said, I'll buy it when it's on the Switch.
You know,
and that's how I feel. I'll buy it when it's on the Switch.
There's another thought to that. Could it be the cartridge prices? Because if you think about it, there's been a lot of games that come out for $19.99 on one platform, and they're $39.99 on the Switch.
This isn't a cartridge release anyway. This is a digital release on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. It's got to be. For $20, it's got to be. I would feel confident in saying, yes, it's only digital. So,
all right. Well, I thought that might be
no. It was fine. It was fine.
Because, there's been a lot of games that have come out.
You win some, you
like
lose
that.
Some. I think your virtual console thing is something.
We're just
but this,
so I'm
this
just it's
not.
Confusing. So it's got to be one of two things. Either this Netflix type service, or it's because it's getting a physical release and the cartridges are too fucking expensive, which is. It's sad, but...
Let me say this quickly. I don't want to dive too far down this Nintendo rabbit hole, because let's be real, by the time a lot of you are hearing this, we could have some answers on this, or we may not, I don't know. But here's my thing. I get the sense that Nintendo's online classics thing is focusing on two-player games and head-to-head games. Why? Because that's the big new draw here for these games, is that you're going to be able to play Dr. Mario live against somebody via the Nintendo Network, and that's going to be the big draw, is two-player. Mega Man's not a two-player game. I think that if there is a virtual console, virtual console is going to focus on things like GameCube and Wii games and things that are like so new that they're not really appropriate for this other service. I mean, my gut tells me that's where the line's going to be drawn. We are going to have a virtual console, but it's going to be for like really newer stuff.
Here's,
10 years old
to
type
that,
stuff.
To that though, and this is a general question because I don't know the answer to this. I don't think Wii games are going to work on it, because think about it. It doesn't have motion control really. I mean, one controller sort of does, but it doesn't have like the sensor bar and stuff like that that the Wii U has, you know, has support for that, but the Switch doesn't have that. So
yeah, but they have. I those controllers have to be able to accomplish something similar.
It's very limited, I think. So I don't know. I don't know if it can.
So by the way, YYR is correcting me in chat and sent me a link to a PlayStation 4 boxed version of Mega Man Legacy Collection 2. So there is a physical version of it, but it's digital only on Xbox One. Isn't that interesting? So there, it's physical, but only on PlayStation 4.
Weird.
But I'm sure it's both. Come on, Sony's not going to be like, oh, you have to buy it physical. No way, no way. They get more money when you buy it digital. So it'll be okay. I stand corrected. Good job, YYR. All right, moving on to other game stuff from this week. Dark Sakura.
Well, we had a little bit of a peek into the new Kingdom Hearts. I think it's going to be interesting that they're going to be doing more of the release information of it at D23, which, for those who don't know, that's like the big Disney con that is going to be going on in July. We'll have to have Victoria look into that for us.
I know. I'm like, now I'm going to have to see if our pal Victoria can do any reporting for Vogue there on the scene, because she's all over that D23 stuff. She's a big cosplayer for all that.
But at any rate, you know, we don't really have a whole lot on it except, you know, really huge bosses and a little bit of the gameplay. But I think it's going, well, that and, of course, Sora does finally look a little bit older. But I think it's going to be interesting to find out what that more is, you know?
I like the trailer.
Yeah.
What little bit they were showing, that was cool. I mean, it, in one way, it's unfortunate that it's not at E3 this year, which means, you know, winter 2018 at the earliest at this point. And I'm sorry, I mean, like, November, December 2018 at the earliest at this point.
Yeah, it's a I think it's a 2018.
I ain't going to hold my breath on that. But anyway, well, here's where I start to get nervous, not just for this game, but like Final Fantasy VII Remake and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Microsoft is now starting to push this 4K gaming thing. There's a very distinct possibility, depending on what happens this holiday with that thing, there's a distinct possibility PlayStation 5, look, and I don't roll your eyes too heavy, because depending on what happens with this 4K thing, PlayStation 5 could be announced next year. Mm. I would say 2019 at the latest at this point. So if these games get delayed much longer, they're going to miss the fucking boat, or they're going to have to go back and be developed more for what now the current console is at this time. And then we get stuck in a fucking loop like we've had with Final Fantasy 15. The development was so fucking slow on that game, they ended up having to make it for the next generation because they couldn't finish it for the PlayStation 3.
I did notice one thing in here that I super like, just re-reviewing this.
Yeah.
The combo attacks.
Mm-hmm.
The combo attacks look really neat.
It did look like Goofy and Donald might be useful.
Well, other than using up all my damn potions or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. But no, it looks really nice.
Yeah. No, the trailer's great if you haven't seen it yet. But yeah. That was kind of their apology for, this is what you get. This is our E3. And this is all we're saying now. So.
Oops.
But maybe it goes without saying that they didn't do that for Final Fantasy VII Remake. .. But again, I'm going to temper my expectations on that. I don't expect to see that at Sony's thing tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't.
Who knows, though?
Yeah. Who knows? All right. Moving on. Loki.
And in the category of things that nobody asked for. And, like, I remember that they had put out some, like, remake of this shit and, or, like, remaster or
on
something.
Steam,
and
I believe it was.
Steaming pile of something. So, Bubsy, The Woolly Strike Back, the trailer out of nowhere, the sequel that nobody asked for, is making its way out.
Hold up. Why is everybody hating on Bubsy? I remember that game on I own
it's
that
Bubsy
game.
It's Bubsy 3D. It's Bubsy 3D's fault,
okay,
really.
Fuck Bubsy 3D for a minute. You know what? Sometimes there's stinker games in series, okay? Here's the thing. I own the original Bubsy on PlayStation 1. I don't remember it being as particularly garbage as you all are saying it is. In fact, for its time, it was a fine platformer. It was one of, like, the platformers on PlayStation. Yes, they fucked it hard with Bubsy 3D, but that's not what they're doing here. So, all I'm saying is that, like, Where's this fake outrage at Bubsy coming from? Because I remember there was a time when Bubsy was actually pretty good. And if we're going back to that, then all right, cool, give it a chance. I mean, yeah, Bubsy's been gone for a long, long time, and you know, but I don't know. It seems like it's not the end of, you know, it's not the most horrible.
It's all
thing.
Right. I mean, I don't know. Not a game I'm interested in, but hey. Yeah, so it's coming out on PlayStation 4 and PC this fall, and it's actually kind of weird that it's coming out by developer Alkaid, which, shit, that was a developer that was around a long time ago.
They were around in the 80s.
Well, they were apparently the original developer of Bubsy.
They made the fucking Test Drive series back in the day.
Yes, they did.
That was their big thing was Test Drive, and then they made a game that I loved that... next time Dark Sakura is absent and I have to do the classic game of the week, I'm picking this one. Accolaid Comics was a game that I fucking loved on 64.
As long as it's not Halo.
It won't be. we know better at this point, Jamie. But Accolaid Comics was actually, I think you would actually really approve of this. It was a really, really cool title on the Commodore 64. So, yeah, those are Accolaid games I can get into. But, yeah, Bubsy is interesting that that's coming back. Now some folks in chat. Okay. Eric RPG in chat says, Rob is lying to himself or forgot how bad it was. I'm not lying to myself. It is possible I forgot how bad it was, but I don't remember it being... I mean, yes, Bubsy 3D was fucking terrible, but I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about the original ones. Anyway.
It's not worth arguing. You know what? I'm going to pick and choose my battles, and the Bubsy battle is not one I feel like fighting. I just don't. So I'm going to move on and talk about another game that maybe we're going
to
see.
Real quick, I want to mention one other thing regarding Bubsy. That's not the only game that's going to be coming back from Alkalade. They're actually planning on releasing several games.
Test Drive?
Sadly not. Hardball, Slave Zero, Deadlock, Eradicator, and Redline.
I know Hardball, and that's like the only one on that list I know. No, Redline. I remember that,
too. I don't think Test Drive is something they can bring back because Atari has that
franchise. Yeah, they do. They do. Anyway.
And it has really shit on that franchise, but, you know.
Anyway, moving on to CD Projekt Red. You know, they've been working on a game. They did The Witcher 3, obviously, which, you know, people went crazy over, and it was a very well artistically done game. They've been working on a new game since then called Cyberpunk 2077. Well, interesting, they tweeted out a announcement this week that kind of, you know, surprised some people, and they said is that they had some documents stolen which contained designs for the upcoming game Cyberpunk 2077. And these individuals have sent them ransom notices saying a demand for ransom has been made, saying that if they don't comply, the files are going to be released to the general public. CD Projekt Red has come out and said, we don't give in to demands, so we're not doing it, and we've contacted the appropriate legal authorities. And they're basically saying the documents are old and unrepresentative of the current vision for the game, so only look for information to come from us that talks about the current vision of the game. So, and there's a couple ways you can kind of take this. There has been some serious problems out there recently with hacking and ransom demands. And probably the most famous or well-known case right now is Netflix was hacked. And 10 episodes from the most recent season of Orange is the New Black, which started on Friday, were leaked like 3 months ago on the internet because Netflix did not comply with the ransom demands. There are 13 episodes in the season, but I guess 10 were done at the time they stole them or whatever. So they all got leaked. So a lot of people saw those 10 episodes a long time ago. They're
only standard definition too, I think.
If they hang out in seedier places on the web. But there's other people that are looking at this going, oh, haha, it's a cyberpunk thriller game, hacker game. This is all a big, what do you fucking call those meta games?
No, it's not. It's not an ARG.
Yeah, ARG, that's it. This is all a big ARG, and this is all to build hype for the game. Here's the thing. In most cases, I would think that would be pretty clever. However, CD Projekt specifically says in this announcement, the documents are old and largely unrepresentative of the current vision of the game. If this was all a gag to get you to look at what is released, they would not be distancing themselves from the material like that. To me, that's what proves that this is something where, unfortunately, CD Projekt Red has found themselves in a Netflix-like scenario. But in my opinion, good on them for not paying the people holding this ransom. That's pretty fucking terrible. In the day and age that we live in, and just shows how important cybersecurity is, because people don't rob banks anymore. They break into computers and then demand for ransom. That's what it is, right? So it sucks. Dungeon Buster and says, ransomware is just getting worse, unfortunately. Everyone wants bitcoins. So there you go. All right, let's move on. Hopefully something a little more positive. Dark Sakura?
Well, one thing I am super excited about, I'm sure that some of our people listening watched the Apple keynote from the developers conference.
Yeah, it almost seems like a lifetime ago at this point. But yeah, that was just this past week. Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly enough, I was seriously more interested in a lot of that than what was going on at what's going on at E3. Because the big thing that stuck out to me, and I actually had never considered that it would happen, is that they're working on VR for macOS. That they've already got developer kits going out for VR, along with the kit's going for $599, and on the new operating system, there's going to be support for external GPUs, so this is going to be really good for developers. And then on top of that, we had the AR demo during the keynote, which was pretty fun. I mean, watching people fall off the end of a table was kind of silly. But then, you know, there's Metal 2 coming out. All the new systems are coming with, like, much better graphics processors, much better graphic cards. And it just makes me think that I think gaming, you know, people say, oh, no one plays games on the Mac, you know. But I think it's really going to end up being a major contender down the line.
I shouldn't say everybody, because some people own Android, but a lot of people play games on Apple because of iPhone and iOS and that whole thing. So
and games look really good.
I think everybody's kind of been sitting here going, we're just waiting for Apple to kind of break the seal. Like, you know, they started to kind of go there with Apple TV, but they didn't just go, they didn't really go all in for me. But now you're right. When we're seeing some of this VR stuff, it's starting to go, okay, so Apple is starting to dip their toe in here.
I don't think it's a I think the dipping already happened. Because, I mean, like I said, I'm playing.
Well, I say dip the toe because where is the VR software for me to play and buy today?
It's in development now.
Right. So we're not there yet.
I'm referring more to gaming in general. Because, I mean, I'll put it this way. I didn't mention it in my my gaming week, but I've also got a Borderlands, the pre-sequel I've been playing on this little guy right here. I've been playing, and then I will play on an iMac. A thing I like is that I've been, you know, using the Steam to save my game saves. I pick up and play on any computer I want to. I can play it on my PC. I can play it on my Mac.
Borderlands do the third person stuff? How are you playing that without getting motion sick?
I play it in Burst.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Fun though.
Yeah,
but I mean, it was how I was with Katamari Damacy. Mm. You know, I'm just thinking that, you know, I think that stereotype is quite an outdated thought. I think that it's people just holding on to an outdated concept that is quickly becoming quite the opposite.
Well, here, my biggest concerns is, you know, a system is only as good as the games that are on it. So we'll see what is delivered on this device after the development phase. My other big concern is that Apple is not always known for doing things on the cheap. So, I mean, you're going to need a beefy computer to play this that costs a lot of money through Apple. So, but if Apple can deliver the experience that's worth it, if they can deliver the Rolls-Royce of gaming experience, then they can justify the Rolls-Royce price. So I'm not saying, but I'm just saying that is a concern to me.
As also was mentioned in that same keynote, that they have dropped the price for one of the new iMacs that are out right now, as well as for the MacBook Pros.
But do those have any integrated cards in them? Because, I mean, this solution...
They're Radeons.
Well, this solution, though, is an external card. It's using the Thunderbolt port. Like, you can add external cards using a Thunderbolt port, but the enclosure itself is like $600.
Well, a lot of this right now is for development, but that should be live like next year for the consumer. And I would think by then, you know, the prices are only dropping on this technology. By then, it should be a little bit more affordable anyway. And on top of that, too, you know, how much do people spend on gaming PCs? You know, if a person wants it badly enough, and I'll already put it this way, you know, I think that, and this is just in my use, I mean, I think that I would rather pay more money and get something that I know, number one, is a good machine, and number two, I'm not going to have to worry about replacing parts in all the time. So,
you know, I think this comment is said a little tongue-in-cheek, but I actually think there's a lot more legit. I think there's a big point in this in our chat from Bobby Blackwolf. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, now that Apple has invented VR and AR, I see it getting much more adoption with the masses, just like how Apple invented the tablet touchscreen computer 8 years after Bill Gates held up a similar device and nobody cared. So it's really only going to help. You know, you joke and you say that, but are you wrong? I mean, to be fair, Apple does have a way of making this shit look really, really cool and like something you want. Apple... Yes, they did a phone that was already done, but they did it the Apple way, and you had to have one. So maybe in a way, this is the breakthrough VR needs.
I would think so, because I mean, now that I know I could just, you know, plug in on, you know, on my MacBook and take it with me, and that it's going to have the processing power it needs for it, I don't see a problem.
And Bobby,
I mean, I will probably get so motion sick I throw up all over everybody at Starbucks, but hey.
But it'll be a heck of a barf.
Yes, it will.
Bobby in chat clarifies, I'm not joking. So, all right, there you go. All right, let's move on, though, for time. I got to make sure we get through a lot of this stuff here. So moving on, Loki.
So remember we talked a little bit about how the a creator of Super Meat Boy was teasing a new project. Now we know a little bit more about what that project is. It's actually an action-adventure platformer game called The End Is Nigh. And yes, it still also has kind of a similar art style to, you know, the other games like Super Meat Boy and The Binding of Isaac. It's going to be available on Steam, it looks like July 12th. So they actually have a trailer out for it, and you can check it out now. But yeah, it's very Super Meat Boy-ish. I mean, it really, really reminds me of that. So check it out.
Good to see what's finally come from them, because I know we've been kind of waiting a little while to see what they were going to unveil. So
yeah, they're saying 600 plus levels, 12 explorable chapters, 20 collectibles, 80 achievements, and hundreds of collectible little squishy tumors. I guess the game is, this is The End Is Nigh is a sprawling adventure platformer game where the player takes control of Ash, one of the few things that have survived the end of the world. Follow Ash as he flops through the future, a pain and suffering. Feel his stress levels rise as you throw him into endless swarms of decaying, mutant, animal-like creatures and help aid his final epic quest to simply make a friend out of the people pieces of people he finds along his journey.
All right. Well, one more thing before we get to the classic game of the week. Remember how I said earlier that there's easier ways to steal people's money than robbing a bank these days? Well, guess what? Another company has been breached by credit cards, it may appear, and it's GameStop. So GameStop actually sent letters to online customers informing them that credit card information may have been stolen. So obviously this letter's out there, so many blogs are getting a hold of it, saying that credit card information for anyone who, quote, placed or attempted to place orders on our website from August 10th, 2016 to February 9th, 2017. So, you know, last Christmas.
You know, when you're placing Switch orders.
Yeah, so this is not good. So it looks like that may have been breached. So they have to notify, because you getting the email attempted to place an order during that time period and used a payment card ending in, you know, whatever it is, confirming that your card is potentially in the list there. GameStop identified and addressed a potential security incident that was related to transactions made on GameStop's website during a specific period of time. GameStop mailed notification letters to customers who made purchases during that time frame, advised them of the incident and providing information on steps they can take. That was a statement that they said about those letters. And, you know, this is not good news for GameStop, as our industry is starting to go a little more and more digital. And as retailers are getting, you know, less and less business because of online. A lot more people are shopping online these days. And you just ask Sears, Macy's, the one I was trying to think of. Sears, Macy's, and all these places that are closing. You know the last Kmart in Sacramento is going to close? That's right.
R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Where are we going to get our 80s fashions?
Auburn. You have to go to Kmart in Auburn. It's okay. Still going to be open. If you still need your Rockus Dukakis shirts.
Goodwill.
They'll be available up in Auburn. All right. Not good news for GameStop, especially hot off the heels of the whole, you know, Circle of Life thing that came around a few months ago, where, you know, they were really pushing, you know, the trades and the pre-orders and all that. All right. Anyhow, going to chat over at live.vognetwork.com. ActDeft is pointing out, speaking of reservations, Forza Motorsport 7 is up on Amazon. Of course they want you to drop those pre-orders on games you just saw.
Did you see? They so, hey, guess what?
Available now to pre-order.
No, available now in the Xbox store. You can go pre-order them digitally. Why would you ever want to pre-order a digital game?
Maybe there's a bonus. That's what it's all about these days. But yeah, I know.
Why? I mean, oh my God, there might not be enough copies. I might not get one.
All right. Let's travel to a simpler time. Let's go back to a time when it's like, you know what? You don't get digital. There's no... Maybe you have a 300 baud modem and that's it.
Maybe you can't afford a modem because the technology is still new.
That's right. You still have to turn a crank if you want to call it BBS.
Your modem was a pink box that had two rubber divots on it that you put your phone receiver onto, and it called shit.
The Sega Channel.
Yes.
All right. It's the classic game of the week, but in a 2017 twist, Dark Sakura once a month likes to spotlight an entire system that she thinks, hey, stop neglecting this system.
That had no internet.
And especially this week when we're all focused on, you know, the Switches and the Xbox One X and the PlayStation 4s. We let's not forget this system of classic
this
past.
This one is rather precious to my childhood.
All right, so what is the classic system of the week?
It's the Magnavox Odyssey 2, or I would say Odyssey Squared the way it's written, but Odyssey 2. In Europe, it was called the Philips VideoPak G7000. In Brazil, it was the Philips Odyssey. But, you know, I grew up with it as the Odyssey 2. There had been a first Odyssey system in 1970s.
These happy noises beeping. don't trigger at all with this game.
Beep, 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 beep. Anyway, the system was released in 1978. So it was like it was old school. It was old school. Now, in the U.S., we got it in 1979, but it was first released in Europe. And I played one of these when I was a teensy kid. I'll put it that way. But anyway, one of the neat things about it is that it did play on the original Odyssey. Probably the original Odyssey design that had removable circuit cards that would let you switch between built-in games. Now, this one, the Odyssey 2, it all had its own individual video game cartridges. And the neat thing about it, with this is that it also allowed for, background graphics, foreground graphics. It had all kinds of different things going on that were kind of new at the time for how they were. It also used, the joystick design that was very popular in the 70s and 80s and not like the bizarreness that was the ColecoVision controller later on. Like, okay, stop for a moment. Why did, like, mid to late 80s machines have the worst controllers ever when the joystick is so perfect? Why? What is it about the 80s that made people lose their shit when it came to controller design?
I just figured it was new. People didn't Whatever. Know what to do.
We're gonna put a foam pad on it. Thanks, Coleco. Anyway, but the joystick for this was very simple. You had your button, you had your joystick. That's all you needed. And we liked it. One of the other neat things, though, about the system is that it had a speech synthesis unit, too, which was pretty neat for its time, you know? And one of the things, like what we're listening to right now, is a game, and I've done the game before for Classic Game. It's Quest for the Rings, where you had a board game that you played along with a video game. Although, we would always just say, fuck the board game and just play the video game. Because playing the Changeling was always the fun part.
That's like playing the Clue VCR game. Fuck yeah. The game, let's just watch the dumb
just
movie.
Just watch the Clue movie yeah. that doesn't have Tim Curry. And there were, there were a few other games that were like that, like Conquest of the World and The Great Wall Street Fortune Hunt. Each of them were like that, too. And I will say, you know, the Atari 2600, the Intellivision, the other, its other competitor at the time was the Bally Astrocade, which I might go in for a system one. But this one, it had a pretty decent market share. It was the third runner, but it wasn't bad, you know? In the U.S., it sold pretty well. And it was actually one of the main ones that was selling pretty well right before 1982. Over a million, by 1983, over a million Odyssey 2 units were sold in just the U.S. And like I said, it was all over the world. There were no third-party games until 1983, which was Imagic's Demon Attack. So that really did limit what it could do with the lack of third-party support. Pay attention, Nintendo, sometimes. But then again, you know, there were other releases, like we got Popeye, Frogger, Qbert, Super Cobra, and then Atlantis, where there were some other big ones. As far as international releases, it did get released in Japan as the Odyssey 2. It was kind of successful, not very. And getting finding a Japanese Odyssey 2 is actually really difficult. It had a decent release in Brazil. They had tournaments for Casey's Crazy Chase. It was called Cum Cum there. And then in Europe, of course, it sold very well with a much larger number of games that were released in Europe. The only thing that was interesting about the European models is that they didn't have any power buttons, and that their action buttons on the joysticks were black, which is kind of odd, but hey. Anyway, it had an 8-bit Intel 8048 microcontroller. It ran at a blazing 1.79 megahertz, 64 bytes of RAM. Audio RAM was 128 bytes. BIOS ROM was 1,024 bytes. I mean, keep in mind, this is bytes. This is the 70s and the 80s. But it was so much fun, you know. There actually is an emulator out there for people who are interested in it. The open source emulator right now is called O2EM. It also has the video pack emulation for the other games. I mean, it's out for all of the big systems out there. But, you know, if you want to get into basically what I spent my formative years playing, you know, this is it. Now, we used to have mirror matches playing some of the racing games, like where we would quite literally look in a mirror and try to play.
Oh, that's such a dumb 5-year-old thing to do, but I love it.
It was great.
Yeah.
And the game that I was actually really good at, what was it called? Cryptoquip?
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was the word Scrabble game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there was Hangman and... But man, I loved that. God, why can't I remember the name of the racing game? Because I fucking love the racing game. And it was almost like, you know, a little just, you know, lap track thing. But we played a lot of Quest for the Rings. A lot of Quest for the Rings. And we would just play for hours with these little blocky looking weird people. And this, it was kind of a dragon. It was Trogdor. It was an 8-bit Trogdor.
You just like to burn an 8.
Oh, it was great. But man... You know, I will say this here. We didn't have a 2600. None of my friends had one.
Wow.
My ex asshole stepdad. Well, he was an asshole still. But my ex stepdad, his friend had an Atari 2600, and I would go play that sometimes. But this, the Odyssey 2, I played so much more than an Atari 2600. I probably played more Atari 2600 as an adult than I did as a child.
Hmm.
So, there. But yeah, this was the one that was big for me, was the Odyssey 2. So,
all right.
Hey.
There it is, your classic system of the month, the Odyssey 2. And I must confess, a system I have not really spent a lot of time
on. I have one.
You should bring one over. It'll be fun.
You don't have a TV that it'll connect to.
Oh, is there a box that can convert the signal to HDMI? There's got
to
be.
I think I have a VHF to UF converter. A VHS. No.
VHS.
What am I saying?
No, I know what you mean. The coaxial thingy. Guess the old.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a coax to HDMI, basically.
But this one ran off of, if I remember right, it was the little hook that you screwed him into, the RF. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
we've
it was RF
got, we've got a converter that we've been using to run the 5200s on that, so I'll have to find one.
Actually, isn't there something about, like, these games won't even really play on an HDMI? Because there's something, I don't know what
they come out looking like, well, especially on top of that, you really did have, you know, still crazy flicker, you know. They didn't run very quickly. Mm-hmm. And these screens will try to like do like some sort of upscaling to it that just makes it kind of a blurry effect. And when, like, even for our NES, when we hook it up to our TV, there's probably a 2-second delay in what you do and what you see. That's why when we were live streaming and I was trying to play Guardian Legend, I couldn't play. The delay was just way too terrible.
So I'm actually like Googling like play Atari 2600 on HD TV because I mean I just figure more people are going to be looking at Atari 2600 because that was the system there. But some people are saying here, like I guess I got looped over to a forum or something like that, and people are saying everything will work fine. The RCA is interchangeable. The AV inputs on your TV are not good ideas. They're not going to pick up the signal, but there's no harm on your TV, but there might be a little lag. It sounds like.
Yeah, so. The lag is the worst part of it for me. But I did notice like some blurring, you know, a little bit of blurring. So, and it just could just be that it's so much smoother, you know.
All right. Okay, well, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, there is more of Orange Lounge Radio to come, including rapid fire news, what's in stores this week. And we'll get to a few more news stories, hopefully all before 9 o'clock and the Bethesda press conference. I think some of you guys are going to be watching as E3 continues. Don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be right back after this with more of Orange Lounge Radio. Welcome back, everybody, to Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight, episode 690 of our show for this June the 11th of 2017. We're having a fun show so far. E3 is underway, and there's some good, some not so good, but, you know, at least there's something to be excited about somewhere. It's a great time to be a gamer. It's always funny because everybody likes to ask that question, who won E3 this year? Who is the big winner? Well, ultimately, if gamers aren't the winner, then we had a bad show. So
they haven't been like really knocked out of the park, you know.
Okay, but everybody's hoping for another thing where Sony just fucking drags Microsoft by the hair and pulls them through the parking lot. And I would like that year.
Honestly, I would like to see something from Sony to that effect because right now it seems like the dragging's being done by Microsoft
come on, Loki. Microsoft's had a turn and Sony hasn't. It's way too early to say that. But I want to see something I like from everybody. I like 4K gaming.
Games with trailers that are actually coming out this year instead of games that they showed us like for the last like 4 years.
Fair enough. All right, we're going to get into some rapid fire news here. And before too long, we'll be getting your calls at Orange Lounge Radio on Skype. But as a reminder, it may be a little bit of a shorter show tonight because, we were thinking that Bethesda was going to interrupt the show. And I just found out today they weren't. So, whoops, I guess bad planning on my part. But that's all right. I know it's a busy week for you guys. So let's get into rapid fire news. Loki.
So I'm a little frustrated by this news, and the reason why, you may remember Volition, you know, they're the makers of Saints Row, that series. But now they have a new game called Agents of Mayhem that's coming out. It's a different game. It's not Saints Row. It's not supposed to be Saints Row.
But now it's Saints Row.
But now it's like Saints Row. Because, like, seriously, they're like, okay, yeah, it doesn't necessarily, it's like sort maybe in the same universe. Like, you know, the Saints stuff is kind of there. And then now they pull this shit. They basically, as a pre-order bonus, you get a playable character of Johnny Gat. And apparently it's supposed to be within canon because Gat is back from, you know, after the events from Gat Out of Hell. He fell into a coma and woke up in this world. Okay, but that just pisses me off more that there's not a fucking new Saints Row game and there's this, but it's not Saints Row.
But if this has the humor of Saints Row, and so I mean, wouldn't you still be okay with it if it's, you know?
They wanted me to be okay when Saints Row was like a superhero game. It's not a superhero game. It was a knockoff of Grand Theft Auto.
Like, okay, you are fucking kidding yourself if you don't think you're giving this game a chance and buying it when it comes out.
No, I don't know. I wasn't really interested in it.
Oh my God. All right.
It's got Johnny Gat in it, though.
We didn't see it today, actually. I would have thought the Microsoft thing would have been a place to show this, but I guess not.
I mean, I don't know. It's all right. It's just, it's kind of silly. I mean, I guess that's what Saints Row is, but it just seems cheap. I don't know. All right. I don't know what to think of it.
All right, let's move on.
And then this is kind of cool. So there's this game that came out called Jazz Punk that's a pretty silly first-person like puzzle game. And they're finally getting DLC for it, which is weird because it came out like 3 years ago. And now they're finally putting out some DLC in the form of a director's cut that's coming. They're saying that's Flavor Nexus is the expansion pack that's coming out. And yeah, I mean, I guess the... I don't know. I'm down for that because I actually like Jazzpunk. I need to go back and finish it, but it's a really strange, like, I don't really know how to describe. It's kind of like a James Bondish type game, but it's not. It's like really like weird humor, but it's definitely worth, you know, checking it out.
Dungeon Muster knows this game in chat over at live.vognetwork.com and says, LOL, it was such a funky game.
It is. It's a really weird game. It's really worth checking out.
But hey, DLC this long after the fact. I mean,
I'll pick it up.
What a way to remind people about your game and kind of give it a second life, right? So
right.
That's pretty cool. All right. Anyhow, Housemark is giving away a game on Steam because they're trying to promote their next release, Nex Machina. So they are giving away one of their older games. You might know them from Rezogun and Super Stardust, but this is something they're giving away on Steam. It's Outland. So you can find that available on Steam. That is going to be, I think that you can only do that through, when was it? Oh, is that already done? Never mind. Time's up. Well, this was a timely announcement, wasn't it?
Sorry.
So guess what, you missed a free game.
Shame.
Maybe, sorry about that.
Maybe you should follow Cheap Ass Gamer, because you know you'll get notified that a lot
or
quicker.
One of those people that do the updates regularly on those game sales. But well, you know what, hey, it's still a reminder that they do have this new game coming out, and it's something they're highlighting at E3. And hey, who gives away games to support their upcoming release? I mean, you don't hear about that every day. It's not the first time that's been done, but you don't hear about that every day. Usually you have to pre-order that to get it. All right. Anyhow, moving on to this one I'm very excited about. There was a trailer that was released this past week for Dissidia Final Fantasy NT coming to PlayStation 4. This, of course, Dissidia being the Final Fantasy fighting title, but I believe...
Is this the arcade one?
This is pretty much. It's going to be the arcade one, but now on PlayStation 4.
I'm done.
We had these games on PSP?
Yeah, PSP.
A long time ago, so this it's kind of like one of those, like, it's about fucking time we get this on PlayStation 4, especially with, you know, how well this has been doing in the arcades. So it will be coming out in early 2018, although we don't have a direct day yet. But there is supposed to be some type of press event at the E3 Coliseum on June 13th at 3:15, and I'm going to assume they are showing more about this game at that time. So that looks... And it, of course, if you see the trailer, it's very Square Enix, very Final Fantasy, over the top, opera singers, all that, you know, pomp and circumstance, and it's great. And I can't wait to get this game because I've been wanting to play it. And it, you know, you can't really find this in arcades around here. I don't even think Round 1 has it. So Dungeon Buster says, can you fight as Final Fantasy 15's flying car? No, but I think they put in Noctis as like a down low or some type of like character after the fact. Because you know that a lot of Japanese arcade games now are just like mobile games on fucking steroids. So it's like, you know, they
all
patch
to the internet. You can, yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of it. You have cards that remember who you are. I thought some of them used your cell phone, but I guess somebody figured out that the cards make more money or something. I don't know, but yeah, pretty cool. Moving on, Dark Sakura.
Well, Shenmue 3, of course, we know it made its Kickstarter, but we haven't really found out too much since then. So we had the news delivered by Yu Suzuki himself. He said that they must delay the release because the game has become bigger and more beautiful than initially expected. So it's set back for the end of 2018.
Highly anticipated game gets delayed. What a shock, right?
At least it wasn't butchered like Mighty No. 9.
That makes it a perfect candidate for a trailer at the Sony press conference, right?
I guess, but why?
Rather wait for something good.
Yeah, I would rather wait till next year's.
Well, that's
conference.
What I'm saying is because they tend to put trailers out for games that aren't coming out for a while.
Oh, I see.
It was a
cerebral joke that went over my head. I'm sorry.
And in other news, PlayStation. Well, Sony is a sponsor for London Pride this year. So they PlayStation UK posted hashtag for all capital ALL the players. So I think that's pretty good. We need wish they'd do it for more things here, but hey, that's going to be for London Pride, which is July 8th. Yay!
Yeah, that's awesome that Sony's getting involved with that. Good guy, Sony. So, to be fair, though, Microsoft gets involved with these types of causes quite frequently as well. Don't think I've seen Nintendo. I'm using a big question mark with that because I'm trying to think. Didn't Nintendo sponsor GamerX 4? They might have. So anyway, I don't. But you know what I mean. Like they just you don't see them as often. But yeah, it's still cool. All right. JD in chat over at live.vognetwork.com says Nintendo likes to avoid gay entirely. Case in point, Tomodachi Life. So yeah, but didn't Nintendo kind of fess up that they made a mistake there? Like I'm a lot better with it when a company says sorry, we'll do better next time. That like than well. But fuck off, you know, type of thing. Like, there's kind of one of two ways that can go, right? So if a company says sorry and we'll do better next time, I'm willing to like stop attacking them over it, if that makes sense. But anyway, let's move on. On to happier news. What can we find in stores this week, Loki?
Not a whole lot, to be honest. So we've got Cars 3 Driven to Win, you know, the franchise game for the movie coming out on this Friday. So we've got that on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3, Xbox One, Xbox 360, then Nintendo Switch, and the Wii U. And then finally, one other game coming out on the Switch this week, ARMS, is making its way out on Friday. That's it.
Oh my God, that's right. ARMS is this week, huh?
Yeah.
There's some people I know that are very, very, very excited about that. That's for sure. All right. Well, my website where I do the Japanese releases is having some issues. So let's go over. Can we go to the UK ones real quick?
Sure. There are some UK releases. On the 14th, we have Pixel Heroes Bite and Magic, because I thought it was a cool name. And on the 15th, MotoGP 17. That's it.
All right. Unfortunately, I am not able to tell you what's coming out in Japan this week, so I'm going to have to table that to a later time.
Stuff.
Yeah, more stuff. Yeah, I'm not getting my list that usually comes up, so that's okay. Websites go up and they go down, so please look forward to it.
Yeah, look forward to it.
Whatever surprise things they announced during E3 this week, that's what's going to be coming out in Japan.
Awesome.
Sorry, guys. All right, moving on. We're going to go ahead and skip over the mailbag this week, but we do want to encourage you guys to email us in the future, participate at orangeloungeradio.com. We're skipping it for time tonight. Remember, our 15th anniversary show is next week. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So if you're one of those longtime listener, first-time caller type of people, we'd really love to hear from you. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. Not to give you a guilt trip or anything. Stare. Puppy dog eyes. All right.
I'm not going to have a floofy dress, though.
No, no quinceañera dress, unfortunately. But
maybe I'll pick up little plastic tiaras.
That would be fun. That would be fun. All right, moving on. I did talk about possibly doing a video stream of the 15th anniversary, but I'm not going to have the expense invested in the studio to be able to do that. But please know that is something I'm looking at for the near future, maybe episode 700 or something. So that we can have something. I know Jamie doesn't want to be on cam, but we can figure something out. So
it could happen.
She just has to have proper
I'll
warning.
I'll do the thing with the wig that covers my eyes.
I love it. You should. You know what? You should get a hat that says something.
They'll just say something.
That's right. Get a hat that says something.
It'll say something. Literally. S-O-M-E-T-H-I-N-G.
How many fucking guys that dress up in drag do you know? Like, you've got to know somebody that has a hat that says something.
Girl.
Exactly.
It's like I turn around and there's a queen. Oh, hi.
You just need to get a Carmen Sandiego fedora.
Yeah, I think she should change it up every week. She should have a big hat every week that's like changed. 1 week she has a Carmen Sandiego fedora. 1 week she has a Sia wig. I mean, this could get expensive, but it's funny.
Fuck. Who was it that, oh shit, now I'm thinking of a show where they used to have like different glasses or something every week.
Dame Edna. Is that who you're thinking of?
Wasn't Dame
Edna.
Hello, my puppets. Dame Edna's always had the Rhinestone cat eyeglasses.
Is anyone in chat old enough to know who Dame Edna is? Probably not.
Dame Edna ever.
I'm betting JD. JD would know who Dame Edna is, if anybody.
Although I do have some problems with Dame Edna lately for having sent some very transphobic things.
Sorry, I forgot that she has definitely put her foot up her fucking mouth recently. So sorry about that. I forgot. I like to remember a Dame Edna from the 70s that was a lot different.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Anyhow, JD says, I've read about Dame Edna. Yeah, probably those same stories you're referring to.
Anyway, moving on. Let's get to some other news stories to end things out. Loki.
So things are definitely changing with Pokemon Go. So we kind of hinted at a few things that might be happening through speculation and stuff. But now we kind of have a little bit something more concrete. So we know that the gym system is going to be redone because the gyms are going offline shortly. So they're going to be doing an event soon on June 13th. It's the Solstice event. So they're going to be doing extra XP for players. Not only that, but they're going to be adding more fire and ice type Pokemon. Finally, I can evolve my stupid Charmeleon. It'll be nice. Also, they're going to reduce the price of Lucky Eggs. So if you want to quadruple your XP, you can do that.
Would you like to play Lucky Egg?
No. And then, of course, you know, with that, they're going to be adding, they said, collaborative group gameplay features. It says that will get you playing Pokemon Go in new fun ways. And they're going to be disabling gyms temporarily before the update, which they don't have a release date yet for that. And then on top of that, people who live around Chicago, July 22nd, they're going to be doing the first live Pokemon event there in Grand Park. They say it's going to feature a ton of exciting festivities.
So lucky for those people in Chicago.
Tickets for that event go on sale on June 19th at 10 p.m. Pacific.
Thank you for doing it 3 weeks after I planned to be there, assholes. No, it's fine. They can't do them everywhere at once. I'm going to be so mad if it's like they do a legendary at the event and then it's like, ugh. But I like to follow on Reddit Silph Road when I want to get like theory in Pokemon Go, because they're very good at like analyzing all this shit, and they seem to think there is some type of like partnership thing going on with Pokemon Go, that there's going to be more of these events throughout the U.S. that's just kind of ran by a different organization. And to be fair, Ingress is doing something right now with that, with the GORUCK organization. They have this thing called Operation Clearfield, and that's going all over the country and doing like, it's like a scavenger hunt type thing with some minor physical fitness built into it, and not community service, but like park awareness, like, you know, your parks are here, support them and all that stuff. And that's
mean like keeping your parks clean and not driving through them in the middle of the rain.
Yes. Like some Smurfs we know, but anyway, look, no team is perfect. But anyway, all that aside, what was I going to say about the Clearfield? Clearfield's going to be here for like 2 days. They're doing 2 days in Sacramento. I was like, there's not enough people here that want to do that. But I guess I
played the other day briefly. I was at the park.
Did you?
I was at the park. My kids were sitting there. They were riding their bikes in the tennis court, and there happens to be a portal nearby. It was a gym as well. It's like a level 12, like 12 gym. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to try to like take this thing down. So I capture the portal and link,
and so that way it made you feel better because at least you got something.
I did something. I emptied out my, you know, you the MUFG you know, things, so they can fill themselves up again with useless crap that I'm not going to use. And then
I don't play as much as I used to.
I played briefly, and it was weird.
The day to day in that game has gotten stale. I really like, group events. Like, I'll farm with other people and then give the bursters to
other people
them,
nearby. I don't know who else is still playing, but like the people that normally take down my stuff like immediately. Like I went back there because I turned off my notifications because I just don't care anymore. And then like I checked the day after, and I was like, damn, it's still there. Why is it still there? Like, I'm surprised that normally that stuff gets taken down like immediately.
I think the player base is just shifting a little bit. It's just some people are still gung-ho on it. Some people are getting really burned out on it. And I'm kind of in the whole, like, you know,
maybe when 2.0 comes out.
Yeah, that's it. That's where I'm at. Is I'm like, you know, I still like the incentive to get out and walk and kind of gamify my walk. So I still will play for that. But I'm just, and once in a while, I can be talked into getting into the car to drop something that's really ugly. But it's like, I'm really more about, let's group up with other people and do something together, like a big field, or let's do a farm, or let's. So like, I like to do the social stuff still, but that's kind of it, like where I'm at right now. But if Pokemon Go is going to get more social like that, to tie this back to Pokemon Go, if Pokemon Go is going to get more social like that with whatever this gym replacement thing is, then that's a great thing for the game, I think. You know, some of the most fun times I've had in Ingress is getting in a car with three other nerds and building portals downtown, up and down all the streets downtown that, you know, the other team is going to have to spend all night taking down. Like, that is some of the most fun I've had. And because, you know, it's like more of like a social thing. So if they kind of can give that to Pokemon,
I think that'll be pretty cool. Because the gym, yes, you can do it for gyms, but it's not that exciting, I'm sorry to say. You know, and at the end of the day, only two people can really do anything with a gym at a time. You can do like groups of two people, but it's just, it's not the same. It's not the same. So, all right. Anyway, come on, a night like this, and chat says, it's okay, girl. On the bright side, you can load up on Chicago dogs and pizza pie. Believe me, there's going to be a lot of eating in Chicago because I like me some deep dish pizza, and you're right, there's a lot of good food in Chicago. So
that's taken care of. Sadly, that's the type of pizza I dislike.
Oh, really?
I hate deep dish pizza.
Oh, man, I love it.
I hate it. That's my least favorite.
But, and some of the natives are going to get pissed.
But to be fair, really my only experience with deep dish pizza nearby is a chain that we have, Chicago Fire. Their pizza sucks. But a lot of people like their pizza, but yeah, I hate their pizza. So that's maybe it's just the bad pizza that I'm getting.
Here's the thing with the Chicago pizza, and a lot of the natives are going to be really upset that I say this, but you're just going to have to deal with it. I do feel like Chicago pizza is one of those things that they have replicated pretty well in other areas. Like, you can kind of go to chains around here, a place around here, and get a pizza that's pretty decent that's like a Chicago pizza. A New York pizza, on the other hand, I have a very hard time finding that around here. Just saying. There's like one place I know of that does a pretty darn good job, but that's like it. So anyway, I could get on a tangent about food. That would just be another week here at OLR, but we do still have some gaming news to get to. So why not another Minecraft story? Let's talk about Minecraft Season 2. We kind of talked about this last week. It did come up on the show, but last week was a rumor. Now it's official. The next season of Minecraft's so now it's season two. Story mode, yes, will be next month. A lot of the first season people are returning. Patton Oswalt, Catherine Tabor, Ashley Johnson, Scott Porter. There's also going to be cameos from Minecraft YouTubers, Stampy Cat and Stacy Plays.
They sort of already done that, but yeah, it's
neat. I have no idea who they are, but cool, I guess. The first episode is called Hero in Residence, and there's five planned episodes, and it will be available on July 11th. Of course, it will follow the events of the first season. The gang are now known as Renowned Adventures, and this game looks like it's even better than Minecraft in 4K with the graphics, but obviously they take liberties with a lot of the Minecraft universe in this, but that's cool. You know, the Telltale games are fun. I never played Minecraft Season 1, but it's one of those things that's like, on a rainy day, someday I'll have time to get around to this, but it just hasn't happened yet. So, Dark Sakura, what do you have for us?
I have stuff. So, Indie Megabooth has transformed. There's now roving mega show I can't make words happen. What is up with this? Mega Show Festival. Oh my god. So anyway, it's going to happen on July 15th in Atlanta, and it will be indie and local community content. Basically all work together for happiness. There will be PlayStation and Adult Swim games there to help with game curation. And they are taking submissions for local artists, musicians, and developers who want to participate. And the announcer of the full lineup will be on June 13th, the day that tickets go on sale. So people, go and tell us what you think. Because I can't teleport to Atlanta. Sorry.
If only we knew somebody who is in Atlanta.
Yeah, I wonder who.
Hopefully he'll have time in his schedule to do that. All right, but if not, maybe somewhere else. All right, just a few more stories for you guys, then we're going to open up the Skype line at Orange Lounge Radio. Loki.
So one of the games that they showed a long time ago, I want to say when they were unveiling Unreal Engine 4, was Fortnite, which was supposed to be this new Epic game. And now that's supposed to be coming out pretty soon, actually. They're going to be doing an early access release of it on July 25th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Now, for those who don't remember, Fortnite was this kind of zombie survival game, but you actually like build up your own forts and everything, so you can you build up your bases, you craft weapons, and then like survive waves of zombies and stuff, and then you go out and scavenge and stuff like that. It looks kind of cool, so that's going to be coming out relatively soon, and it's going to be $39.99 when it releases. So check it out, I guess. I probably will check it out because
or don't
It's no, not no. your kind.
I don't care if you don't want to. What am I here for? Just to tell you this stuff? I mean, seriously.
Dungeon Buster says, wow, Fortnite. That's a title I haven't heard anything from in a long while. So Bobby Blackwolf in chat is there and says, LOL, I probably already know all the people exhibiting there. I hadn't heard of it, though, so that's they haven't announced it locally. So, All right, anyhow, one more story for you guys tonight, and it's about an old favorite here at OLR, an old favorite, former favorite here at OLR, which, you know, to be fair, we wouldn't be here for these past 15 years if it weren't without Konami. So I have a Konami story to end things tonight, and there was an interview at Mike Tendo 64 doing an interview with a European brand manager named Richard Jones over at Konami, and there's some highlights of this interview talking about, of course, Switch support. Jones says in this interview, all I can say is that there's lots of internal discussions going on within Konami regarding what games we can bring to the Nintendo Switch other than Bomberman, a game which we are well aware of its heritage and how loved it and Castlevania is. So much that Castlevania is getting its own show on Netflix, and because of that, we're hearing a lot of desires from our fans for a new Castlevania series. So we do know there is a demand for a new game, but right now nothing is set in stone as the discussions are still ongoing. Hey, that reminds me, did you see the new Bloodstained trailer out of E3? Because that game looked pretty hot. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah, it looks like fucking Symphony of the Night, like which we were all expecting, but in like, you know, with some enhanced graphics stuff, which we were kind of expecting. So I feel like this game may actually just be delivering what people want. So we'll see. Hopefully we don't get Mighty Number 9, but it's looking pretty good so far. Oh, excuse me, back to Konami. There was also a question about Bomberman R. While I can't say how long we will continue to support Super Bomberman R, I can say we do have plenty of other ideas in the works and have a few big updates on the way. For example, I can't announce anything for version 1.5. Suffice to say there will be more stages and other things. But although I can't confirm there will be more costumes and characters, there may or may not be some more later on down the line. We'll just have to see how it goes. That's the biggest fucking non-answer I've ever heard in my life. Like, there's a version update I can't confirm or deny, but I'm going to tell you that we're going to see what happens. So look forward to this because I think you may or may not like it. Right? Whatever.
All I hear is they're going to release another fucking Frogger game probably. It's just be like, no one fucking cares.
Loki, it's what the fans want.
I get it. Old Frogger was cool. New Frogger, not so cool. Come on.
All right. Well, I don't know. You know what? Maybe Frogger on the Switch, depending on what they do with it, is something I could get behind. Maybe.
All they would do if they did Frogger on the Switch is it would just be fucking ripping off Crossy Road at that point, which technically Crossy Road sort of rips off of Frogger, but
so, you know,
that's basically what it would be.
Dark Tetsuya suggests, how about Frogger Fractions?
Down with that. That's fine.
Oh my god, can you imagine if Konami had the balls to release Frogger Fractions? Can you imagine just to put out that type of title or that sort of name? Can you imagine if Konami had the fucking balls to do something like that? They won't.
They don't.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype. If you want to give us a call, we're going to take a few quick calls before, of course, going to shut it down because Bethesda's starting in about 30 minutes. Have they said yet if it's... the good old folks from X-Play hosting that whole thing.
I don't know
again.
But I want to definitely watch it tonight, so.
Yeah. So we'll see. So let's see. We are getting a call, so we'll get to it quickly here. Hi. You're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Rachel.
Hey, Rachel. What's on your mind tonight? Quickly.
Two things real quick. Question and a bit of information. Question is, in your wildest dreams, if you could wish for anything, what would you like to wish to have announced sometime during the rest of E3?
Nintendo puts out the Guardian Legend on Virtual Console for Switch.
I wish.
Do you have a wish?
I want that to be out. Like,
no stealing my wish.
I'm not stealing, I'm adding to
Bursties.
It. I'm adding the force of my own wishes to that one.
Say HD remake.
Ooh!
There you go.
Stealing that.
I would love to see, you know, especially after seeing the Last Night trailer today, let these developers make a new Metroid game. Because that game looks fucking sweet. With that art style, can you imagine a new Metroid game with that, like, pixelated, kick-ass art style? Mm-hmm. I'm down with that.
B, because I'm a nice fucking person, I'll let Dark Soccer have the Guardian Legend thing, and I'll fall back on F-Zero. Wow, we all picked something from Nintendo. Notice I said, keep the bar low with Nintendo, yet here we are just readying ourselves for disappointment.
We've been doing that for years.
I know, that's true.
What I want to see, not what realistically is going to happen.
I'm sorry. I'm loving some of these answers in chat over at live.vognetwork.com. Bobby Blackwolf says, Accolade cancels Bubsy and works on Metroid. Come on a night like this, and chat says, a Zac Efron 7 minutes in heaven simulator. would that be on the Oculus Rift or the HTV Vive? I don't know. Anyway, what about you? The tables have turned, Raginator. What about you?
Well, if I could have anything, I would say that Sony would sell some of the IPs that they're not doing anything with and have no intention of doing anything with, sell it to a company like Valve, let them publish new entries on Steam, like, for example, the SOCOM series.
Wait, you know what? You said a word that completely changed my mind about in my wildest dreams. Okay, here we go. New scenario. Because you said the word Valve. Tomorrow, Sony starts their press conference, and you know what's his name that's the president of Sony right now walks out on stage and says, we'd like to thank you, and here we are to celebrate, you know, all these years of Sony and the great launch of the PlayStation 4 Pro, and then suddenly all the lights go out. And then Gabe Newell, lit by a spotlight, walks out on the stage, pushes the Sony CEO executive aside, says, get the fuck out of here, and then says, Half-Life 3, motherfuckers! And then the ceiling opens up, and mics just fall from the ceiling onto the crowd below, and it's out on Steam right now. That is my wildest dream for E3. How about that?
You officially trumped me on that.
Don't use that word.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right. What is your second thing you wanted to ask tonight?
Well, you mentioned Outland being free on Steam temporarily, but one thing that you failed to mention was that Payday 2 is also free on Steam, but there's a little asterisk in footnote on that. It's for the first 5 million people that grab it.
You know what, Raginator, you fucking missed your calling. You need to be one of these. Look, I respect that you call in and you are making sure that we're getting these things on the cheap, but I think you could be making money off of saving money. Just think about this. You could have some type of blog or website, you know, cheaper ass gamer. I don't know, but you better think of a more original name. And, you know, you could be running some of these deals, Raginator, and you can make a killing. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I don't see how I could do it, but I'll take your word for it.
Don't be like us and never get better over 15 years. All right, I'm going to let you go, Rage Nader, so we can try to squeeze in another call. Take care.
All right, you have a good one.
All right, you too. Bye. All right, 1-877-GAME-OLR, or username on Skype, Orange Lounge Radio, if you want to give us a call. Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, become at Wario64, but not a bot. Is Wario64 a bot? I never knew that. I see a lot of people quoting him, like, all the time. I don't know if I should talk about this on OLR. Never mind. Now I brought it up. All right. I blocked somebody on Twitter that gets retweeted into my timeline a lot. Not him. Not that Wario64. I blocked somebody on Twitter gets retweeted in my timeline a lot. And I just don't like this person because they threw shade at my husband on Twitter. And I'm sorry, I don't stand for that. So I'm so, like, every time I see this guy get tweeted into my timeline, I'm like, that's the asshole who had something to say to my husband. And so I blocked him so I don't have to see him anymore get retweeted in my timeline. Is it petty? Yes. But if you look into my kitchen, you'll see I'm well stocked with petty crocker. So it happens. So there you go. Anyway. Orange Lounge Radio, all one word on Skype if you want to get through. This is your last chance. Otherwise,
We're going to wrap it up for tonight. I guess I can just quickly kind of end on this here. Or actually, last minute stories. Anything you want to get out here?
There's one last thing I wanted to mention. I forgot to mention it the other week. But there's this guy, Seth Bling, on YouTube, who actually came up with this. They call it a Super Mario World Jailbreak. It's basically a modified save that he can create. It creates like a hex editor within Mario World that you can do all sorts of crazy shit, including like they added had code to execute the Super NES mouse to like actually move stuff around in the game and do like all sorts of crazy stuff. So pretty cool. So go check him out, Seth Bling, on YouTube to see all the stuff. In fact, yes, some arbitrary code running on the Wii U Virtual Console version of Super Mario World as well.
Quickly, what do you hope to see from Bethesda tonight, Loki?
I'd be curious to see some more. Like anything Elder Scrolls, really, aside from online, I'm not too interested in that. But
do you think we'll see Elder? Do you know something that's been strangely absent is Skyrim on the Switch? Do you think now's the time to talk about that, or do you think that's been quietly shelved?
I think it's coming, but maybe we'll see something. I'm not expecting too much from that though. I'm expecting just it's like the PlayStation.
It's Skyrim on the 3, Switch.
It's Skyrim on the Switch. Yeah. I mean, it's all right, but like. I don't know.
I swear to God, Bethesda, where are you? All you have to do, you just add a Hyrule Temple somewhere, and I swear to God, you're going to sell 4 times as many copies as you would have otherwise. Nintendo fans, don't fuck around.
Or fucking have craftable Master Sword or some ridiculous
thing. I'm serious. If Bethesda is not thinking about this, they fucking should be. But anyway, that's my hot take. Right. Take it or leave it. I don't think see a lot of people are saying Elder Scrolls 6. No, in fact, they have fucking come out and said there is no Elder Scrolls 6 this year.
I think the two games that they're supposed to be talking about, there's The Evil Within 2,
yeah,
is one, and the other one, remember, it was hinted at, but they didn't really see it because it was like a code or something. The new Wolfenstein game. Remember, there's Wolfenstein.
Sure.
I forget what the hell the subtitle was on it, but there was, I think, a new Wolfenstein game.
Yeah, that seems like a given. I would say the stretch would be the Fallout New Vegas thing. I would say
a
Fallout spinoff. I say New Vegas with a big balloon. Fallout spinoff in 4's engine would be way more likely than an Elder Scrolls thing at this point. The Elder Scrolls focus is on Morrowind expansion for Elder Scrolls Online. That just came out like this past week. So that's their focus on Elder Scrolls right now. No, yeah. Elder Scrolls 6 tonight. Ain't happening. If it does, I'll be pleasantly surprised. But don't fucking set your bar there because you're going to be mad. So
All right.
Well, I guess that's going to do it for the show tonight because nobody else is calling in. But I know y'all are getting ready for that conference. I want to thank you guys so much for listening to our show tonight. And hey, next week is going to be a very, very special show that wouldn't be possible without all of you guys. So, in advance, I just want to say thanks for being here. And as we say every week, if you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend or two about the show. Help spread the word about the show where every gamer has a voice, because if the voices aren't here for us to use, we can't air them. So,
I've got voices in my head. Does that count?
No. Stay tuned to social media throughout the week. Twitter.com/OLR, Facebook.com/Orange Lounge Radio, and of course, VOG Network as well. We're hoping to have some special things throughout the week to sort of announce, and some other things we want to do in preparation for our 15th anniversary episode. So stay tuned. Meanwhile, let's go around and get everybody's final thought. Dark Sakura, your final thought. Loki, your final thought tonight.
I hope Sony steps it up tomorrow, because I don't want to watch trailers for games that they showed last year and have no sort of, answer to the backwards compatibility stuff.
And my final thought is, just set the fucking bar low and like the game that you like. It's E3. There's going to be something you like. Focus on that. Focus on the thing you like and run with it. We'll see you next week to break down the rest of E3 and celebrate 15 years of Orange Lounge Radio. Until then, be safe. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.